Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're not so mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye! Hear ye! King Shazir the Terrible! All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
No, I didn't see him oppressing you, but I heard it all, man. That's oppression. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the fun and excitement and the thrills and spills and so on of the Knights of the Round Table, jump over there to the superchat.html and we'll talk about some of that oppression. So I posted some links over there, and crazy enough, as much as going on out there in this world, there's things that that get missed in the process. Matter of fact, I was looking at this video and I'm all shocked about it. I'm all like, man, what the heck? I said, I ain't never going that route. And so after looking at the video, I was checking on the date, and one of these was like 4 years ago. I was like, man, I've really been out of the loop for a long time if this has been going on for at least 4 years. And so what I'm talking about is basically, if you get on an airplane, first to get on the airplane, you got to be, searched and groped and, all the goodies in order so they can ensure that, A, you're not a terrorist. But then once they get you on the plane and feed you that wonderful food that they always share with you whenever you pay the hundreds of dollars to go from point A to point B, well, then before you get off the plane, apparently now they got to spray you down for bugs so that you don't get, bugs on people or something, like take bugs from one place to the next. And I'm thinking, it sounds like a bag of chips. I'm thinking,
it's a bag of bugs.
Well, don't take your bag of chips on the plane, or at least eat them before they start spraying. But the problem is,
don't take your bag of chips on the plane, and don't say dodecahedron.
Yeah, and they also said that you can't film it, too. They said that you're not supposed to film them while they're spraying you down for bugs. And don't say dodecahedron on a plane, because you'll get escorted off by the guy that looks like the average Joe, but he's not. He's an air marshal, and he'll, jump on you and beat you up while the stewardess sprays you down for bugs on the way. I mean, they make it sound so pleasant to go fly. I mean, okay, if I was a lonely man, I might want to go fly an airplane a lot, get groped, something. If I wanted to have health problems, I might go fly, get groped, get poisoned, and so on and so forth. How bad could it be? Dude, I'm telling you, you must be some really brilliant individuals in the governments of the world. I mean, they must be like the brightest candle in the box. Because
You know what they're probably spraying for?
Well, there's probably going to be a whole lot of things, because, you're always being heard about the Zika virus or the West Nile virus or...
You said bugs, not diseases.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm trying to guess what you bit. Just go ahead and tell me, man. It'd be easier.
Bed bugs.
Oh, bed bugs. See?
Yeah, those things made a resurgence, man. Everybody thought they were extinct, and now they've come back, and apparently they're more virulent and resistant to almost everything you can think of, so getting rid of them is almost impossible.
All right, so when they're spraying these toxic chemicals, there was a deal, Agent Orange, back during Vietnam, where they sprayed off these stuff to kill off some plants so that the enemy wouldn't have a place to hide. And so what's to say that, 4 years ago, this stewardess is running up there with two cans, one on each side of the aisle. They're spraying down over the top of people, and they got their shirts over their face and all that, trying to breathe. What about the folks that have asthma or allergic reactions? See, but anyway, back to the Agent Orange. They didn't find out till years later it was making people sick, because they didn't spray it just over the enemy. They sprayed it over everybody. They sprayed it in the air. Well, now they're doing this, right? Or apparently been doing it for at least 4 years, according to that one video. But who's to say that that poor lady that's one that's spraying it on there, because she didn't have no mask on or anything. Yeah, that would look really good. You're on a public flight. You come out dressed like with a toxic gas mask on, like some of those rockers like to do nowadays, Get this toxic gas mask on, and you're spraying all this crud over the top of everybody, and you're looking at you like, well, what's that, Well, apparently one lady questioned it, and she got hauled off by six officers when they got to the other side. And so, hey, if you want to get groped, go to the airport and get on a plane and get your bed bugs sprayed off. Are you still there, Thomas? Dang, here we go with the Skype issue again. Nope, he's here. Anyway, my grandpa said that crabs could jump 7 feet, so maybe they're shooting for some of those, too. Man. Are you there? No? Keep trying to
Do you want to hear every little noise that's over here?
No, I just like...
Every little rattle of a chip. I can't just flip my mic up and down
to keep myself.
So
well,
I have to reach all the way over to the computer to make sure the mouse is positioned just right. And then I got to click the button, and usually the mouse jumps, and then I got to reposition and try it again. And
yeah, well, generally it's customary that if somebody asks you a stupid question, you respond.
Well, it's generally customary, though, too, whenever your mic is muted, if you do respond, that they don't hear and they have no idea that you responded.
Oh, that's... Okay, we got it. Anyway, Grandpa said that crabs could jump seven feet, so I'm thinking maybe that might have been what they're spraying for, too, you know? You don't know?
It's also generally customary whenever you're in a chat with somebody... That to check every now and then to see if they sent you a message because, you know, it's something that you had to read and it didn't want to be broadcast.
It said Thomas Anderson added Raymond to the call.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I saw. Is Raymond in here yet?
Yeah, but you never read them, so I didn't bother sending it this time.
Oh.
You absolutely never read a chat.
Let me get a fresh... I got a fresh chat room now. I think I'm in the same chat room as you. Alright, so anyway, you know, 4 years ago, apparently they're walking up down the aisle spraying, what do they call those, aerosol cans, you know, with propellants in there, you know, most generally the propellants are what, like CO2 or something like that, and so, they're, remember back in the day, maybe you don't remember back in the day, you're not as old as I am, but maybe you still remember it anyway,
Shoot, now Mike... keyboard's not responding.
Well, that ain't gonna fix it any. You gotta get a bigger hammer and beat on that puppy, man. Anyway, so back in the day, they used to talk about how they had to ban hairspray because it was causing a hole in the ozone layer. You remember that?
I don't remember something about that. I'm going to hang up here and restart Skype.
All right, well, hang up with
it, but it's not working for me. Everything is broken.
Well, they don't want us to tell everybody that you're getting sprayed down on the hair on the airline with bug spray. All right, so you go ahead and reset all that.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
All right, well, while he's getting his Skype situated, I looked at this thing and I'm like, man. We live in a toxic world. It's not safe to eat the food unless you read the chemistry. You know, at least when you go to the doctor, they say, are you allergic to anything? And if you say no, then they don't write it down. But if you say you're allergic to certain things, and see, it's trying to, look, I'm just get rid of that one and wait for them to call back fresh. Alright, so they say, you know, are you allergic to anything? And you tell them whether you're allergic or not. And, that's Raymond calling. Man, I tell you what, this is like the Three Stooges, dude. Thomas is trying to get his stuff reset and he can call you back. Are you there? I hear your jet engine in the background.
Alright, I can't kill my mic, I can't kill my speakers or nothing. I've got a black screen.
Man. Hit Control Alt Delete twice and it'll reboot your computer.
Yeah, I'm gonna move back to reboot.
Alright, I'll catch you guys when you get it sorted out. As soon as you get a hold of Thomas and you get a hold of me. We're live, by the way. Alright, give me a call back when you guys get it fixed. All right, this is an exciting show here so far. All right, so where was I? They're spraying bug spray on you on the airplanes. They're spraying bug spray and who knows what else through the air. They did it in Vietnam, so everybody says that, you can always trust your government. They wouldn't do that. All right, we got Thomas Anderson again. Yeah, okay. Welcome to the round table, brother.
Yeah, now I gotta re-add Raymond when he's ready to come in here. Looks like he's offline though now.
No, he's online. He might have rebooting his computer because he was having an issue too. He said you was having a keyboard where you had to bang on your keyboard. He was having some sort of black screen where he couldn't do anything. So, man, I don't know. The forces of darkness are out to get us today, and I think Muddy's in there somewhere if you want to throw him in there too.
Let's see if I can get him in here.
And so anyway, we got we get sprayed if we're going to go on an airplane. Man, this is exciting. We get sprayed if we want to go on an airplane.
You sure he's out there? He didn't answer.
Well, I saw him. He was in the chat room. He said something about, I don't know. I'll have to go back and read it. Man, y'all messing with my brain this morning. I'm trying to sound intelligent here. Which is,
what's that?
Yeah, which is a stretch on any best day. But anyway, if you're lonely, go to the airport. All right. And if you want to be toxified, take a ride. Jump on the airplane and, boy, they'll feed you some of that good genetically modified bag of peanuts with monosodium glutamate in red dye number 7 or yellow dye number 7 or something. Just something to color it up, make it look pretty. Because you know your food tastes better when it looks good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's red, white, and blue, it's patriotic. If it's green, then it's questionable whether you want to eat it, unless it's vegetables and it's supposed to be green. Or if it's blue and kind of fuzzy, well, if you got some sort of thing that you need some penicillin for, maybe. But otherwise, you're not going to enjoy the flavor. So you know what I'm saying?
If you're needing that penicillin, you ain't going to enjoy the flavor anyway.
Well, you know, hey, if you're going to get rid of the bugs, you might as well get rid of the bacteria while you're at it. You know, eat some moldy airplane peanuts. Well, it only cost you, how much is an airplane flight now anyway? Because I ain't been on an airplane for so many years because, you know, once they started the molestation on the airport, I decided, you know, hey,
it wasn't necessary.
If I can't get there by driving, I ain't getting there. All right. If I can't walk over or get there, or even heck, ride a unicycle from here to Texas to say hi to Raymond.
That don't
sound like a very. Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Good morning, Dagnabbit.
I'm gonna ride a unicycle from Missouri to Texas. What do you think?
Sure, go ahead.
You think I'll have a bad case of roids by the time I get there?
Oh, yeah.
No, we're talking about.
Huh? Especially if you got one of them racing bike seats.
Yeah, well, you remember the old bikes back in the old days, like in the 70s, they had these big old sissy bars on there? And big giant, like ape hanger handlebars on the front.
Yeah, and banana seat.
Yeah, banana seat. So I want a unicycle with a banana seat, a sissy bar, and a pair of ape hangers on a unicycle.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah. Now I'm serious. Somebody builds it, I'll ride it. I gotta find the parts, man. That would be a really, I'd be a bit of a half. Shaziz man rides a unicycle. Anyway, so what we were talking about, in all seriousness.
Hey, hold on, back up.
All right.
You're trying to outdo other people. That's what it sounds like to me. And I'm going to tell you right now, you cannot outdo somebody riding a unicycle, playing bagpipes, wearing a Darth Vader helmet, on a kit with a kilt.
That does sound extreme. That does sound extreme, but if you can balance a unicycle without going over the the ape hanger handlebars or falling back and getting snagged in the sissy bar, I guess then, I don't know, man. Maybe I can try to juggle while I do it. What do you think? Or text. You know, you're not supposed to text and drive, so I could text and unicycle. That sounds hazardous.
Juggling rubber chickens.
Yeah, juggling rubber chickens while texting, riding a unicycle with the ape hangers and the sissy bar.
I'd say you're going to drop your cell phone or thread it.
Well, you don't want to drop cell phones these days because the last one that I saw get dropped, it also got danced on at a party. And ooh, it didn't fare so well. And it cost like a couple $100 to replace it.
Well, you know that deal where they tell you to rub your head and pat your belly and then tell you to rub your belly and pat your head and get your arms messed up? That's going to take a lot of practice not to throw that cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
So
anyway, can we be serious now? I mean, we got to get on an airplane, and apparently this has been going on for at least 4 years, according to the one video I posted over there at the superchat.html. Well, you got these stewardesses walking up and down the aisle spraying bug spray, and, you know, people got their shirt over their deal, you know, and one guy's, he's all like, it burns, you know, and they're all laughing about it and everything. But you're in a closed-in cabin, and you're getting an aerosol sprayed on you that's supposed to kill bugs. Now, if it'll kill bugs, you know, I know bugs got a different system in them, but, you know, hey, if it's going to damage the bug, then there's got to be something on you that's not going to help out. Maybe your digestive system or something like that. I don't know. Get a bad case of black lung disease or something.
There's a fungus among us. Let us pray. Oh, run, yeah. Run.
And so, you know, my grandpa used to say the crabs could jump 7 feet, and so I'm thinking you're going to need something a little bit bigger than that aerosol can to make sure you get those while they're airborne.
Not just 7 feet, but in about 5 to 10 mile an hour wind, they can blow as far as 30 feet.
Wow. So
they can live in a wool blanket up to a month.
That doggone airplane's at least 30 feet long, so if somebody had one up front and it jumped in the back, you know, if you add in the motion of the airplane going forward or whatever, I don't know, man. Yeah, sounds ridiculous to me, but, you know, that's why I don't fly. I told Thomas just a while ago, I said, if, you know, if I can't get there by plane or foot or unicycle or whatever, I just ain't going. Because I'm not getting on an airplane, you know? I'm a happily married man. I don't feel like I need to be groped by some dude
at
the airport.
Wait, you just said that if you can't get there by plane or foot or boat.
Oh. Well, did I say plane?
Yeah, you did.
Oh. Well, that was a blooper. If I can't get there by driving, number one, or by foot or unicycle.
Why don't you just say if you can't get there by what, you know, if you have to use... Instead of saying if you can't get there, say if you have to use, and then you know, let's tally up the things that you will not travel by.
Okay, if I have to use public transportation where they're using pesticides to debug the passengers, whether they're bed bugs, crabs, fleas, ticks, or whatever, anything to do with public transportation where I'm going to have to necessarily be groped and searched and bug sprayed. You know, this is like getting ridiculous. I mean, you can't go from point A to point B if you want to ride a public transport because the government got you being inspected in case you might be a mini-me of Osama bin Laden or something like that. Let's say you just come out of the motel, all right? You have a Howard Johnson's towel around your head because you're trying to keep your hair like from, you know, so it dries out, you know. You see how that people come walking out of the showers and they got a towel wrapped around their head because their hair's all wet and all that, you know. So you come out there, you're in a hurry, you forget to take the towel off your head, you rush over to the airport, you know, get down there in line, and next thing you know, they're trying to peg you as a terrorist and all that kind of stuff, and now they're going to grope you and check you and... And then you're going to get bug sprayed. Well, at least you have the towel to wipe off the bug spray afterwards. I mean, it could happen. Serious. But I...
And whose nightmare are you arranging here?
Well, you know...
That sounds like, you know, going, getting out, driving all the way to school to give a lecture, and you're standing up there giving a lecture in front of the class and realize you forgot your pants.
Yeah, that would be bad. Dang, is Muddy in the closet? Muddy, come out the closet. We can't hear you.
Oh, yeah. I used to have them dreams where you go to school and you're in your pajama bottoms and, yeah, you got your red shirt on, but you got your pajama bottoms on or your underwear. I never, and, you know, it went from pajama bottoms, then the repeated dream finally went to being in my underwear, and it never made it to the point where I forgot both. So, I was glad about that.
Well, don't go to the airport in your pajama bottoms. Anyway,
don't say dodecahedron.
Yeah, let's at least until you get in the plane before you say it. That way you can at least get a ride to the other side before you say it.
I'm waiting for your friend in the back. Hi, Jack.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't ride the airplane with your friend named Jack. We got to make a list of don't do's whenever you go to the airport. I'm serious. No, I'm just not going to ride, man. I'm just not going to get on public transportation where I'm going to be molested or searched or, you know, dehumanized, bug sprayed. You know, before it's all over with, after the government finally gets their say, you're going to see everybody standing in line at the airport, butt naked, going through a lice disinfectant, and then through a, like one of them lights that kills off bacterias. What are those? Ultraviolet?
Yeah, and, ultraviolet light.
Yeah, and then from that, you got to go through a dryer system, and then through an x-ray system, and then on the other side, you get your red or blue jumpsuit, and then you get put on your prison gear looking stuff, and you get on the boat. First, they're going to have to shackle you at the door, or we're talking about a plane, you don't get on the boat. So first they're going to have to shackle you at the airplane hatch there and make sure that you guys ain't going to be fighting on the plane and don't use your cell phones or anything like that to record any of the extras that go on inside the plane. So once you get to your seat and they buckle you in, they lock your shackles down so that you can't get up out of your seat. And if you got to go to the bathroom, you're just going to have to hold it till you get to the other side. And, you know, they're going to bring some... government approved food around to you, and that's what you get to eat on the plane, alright? And when you get ready to depart the plane, then they're going to spray you down to make sure that nobody snuck in a bed bug, you know, in their jumpsuit or anything like that. Check your hair for cooties. And in case you've been sweating on the plane, then you got to go through this big old fog of deodorant and come out the other side. And then on the other side, they'll bring your baggage out where then you can get dressed in your own civilian clothes at the other side. What do you think?
Shenanigans.
Well, yeah, I know it sounds crazy, but shoot, man, you're spraying bug spray inside the doggone deal, a closed-in area, and people was always talking about how, well, I can't remember nothing anymore.
Well, you did say one thing. You said, if you got to go to the bathroom, hold it. Now, I ain't heard you tell me when I have to unwrap my legs at least one revolution.
You mentioned the bringing you around food that's government approved. The problem is the food's in plastic containers and heated in a microwave, and all the polycarbons are leaching down into your food, causing cancer. Duh, it's government approved, so okay, it's okay to kill you with a microwave, right?
Well, killing you's government approved. They've already proven that. That's not even up for debate. What's your problem?
My problem is that over 300 people a year die in this country from lead poisoning by drinking hot drinks out of ceramics that have not been fired properly.
Blazing all ceramic contains lead. If it's fired properly, the lead cannot leach out.
Well, I believe it. But a whole lot
more. They believe it because it's the truth.
I do. I believe it.
You don't want you don't want polymers in your body. Those are long chains and they don't leave.
Well, I agree, but
the thing is, many people, especially people my age, go to the doctor once a year for a physical checkup, and they take a blood test, and they test my blood for all sorts of things, but none of them test for lead.
Well, do you realize how many people die?
Somebody asked them to do that.
Do you realize?
I tell you what, when you take your finger on a piece of paper and drag it across there, and it leaves a line, so you've got a lot of lead in your system.
Yeah, but do you realize how many people? Hey, do you realize how many people die of lead poisoning in Chicago alone?
I'd like to know.
A lot. I mean, they're shooting each other left and right. Go over to Iraq or Afghanistan. There's people dying of lead poisoning 24/7 over there. There's some places you just don't. Not some neighborhoods you just don't go unless you want lead poisoning.
That's how my grandfather died at the age of 94. He was crawling out the bedroom window of a jealous husband and got a lethal injection of lead poisoning in his butt.
Well, I believe it. And, you know, the government's kind of sneaky about that. They like the slow burn, you know, so they can have plausible deniability. If they give you a little tiny bit of lead here and there, or a little tiny bit of arsenic or something like that, you know, then you can't blame it on them when you die 30, 40 years later of some weird tropical disease or something.
Shenanigans.
That's what I'm saying. Man.
Lead doesn't have for better octane in your diet.
No, it don't. And from what I understand, it burns like hell when it goes in. So, I'm just saying. Not that all
person, man.
I'm just saying, I don't want to go on the airport.
Like a circus up in here.
Yeah, I don't want to go to the airport and get groped. I don't want to go to the airport and get searched. I don't want to go to the airport and get basically possible seizure from whatever toxins they're spraying in the air. You know, there's some neurotoxins that, you know, they use for pesticides. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they'll give you the shakes, man. The worst. So... It ain't safe to fly, as far as I'm concerned. Y'all take your own chances, and if you do take your chances, go to the airport to fly. I'd suggest taking you some sort of respirator, gas mask, or something. You know, the old shirt over the face trick doesn't work very well. You know,
I'll tell you what, if it's kind of like an emergency or something, you can take some paper towel, wad it up, fold it up several times, and the more filtration you need, the harder you bite down on it, and you have to breathe through your mouth and out your nose. But that does work. I've used it in the paper a few times.
Well, I've heard that...
They're blowing out colored snots after you get done painting, you know?
I've heard that damp rags will give you some sort of filtration. Now, whether that's...
I tell you what, when you're painting a car, the best gas mask or whatever you want to call it is garden hose. Just make sure it ain't got no kinks. You put that outside your door, and just breathe in through your mouth through the garden hose and out your nose, and you got no problems. I swapped my gas mask for a thing I put on my. I basically took the filter off and put a garden hose to it, and I pull that over and hold on. I'd let probably about 5 foot into a loop, and I'd hold that with my gun, my spray gun. And I learned that was a lot better than the doggone mask.
Let me ask you a physics question.
Mom!
Yeah. Two more listeners. Let me ask you a physics question on the matter of what you were just talking about. Alright? So, if I'm on an airplane and they're getting ready to spray the deal, and I pull, say we're still in flight and we ain't landed yet. We're still in flight, but they're going to go ahead and get the spraying over with so that everybody can get off the plane, you know, at a timely manner.
Yeah, so, you got to put the garden hose out the window.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. Would, according to the physics, would that create a Venturi effect that would suck my lungs out the window, or... Could I, you know, breathe some fresh air from outside?
That's a reasonable question. Then you blow up like a balloon.
You think it'd be pressure, back pressure, that I'd like, it'd come in? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I bet it's a vacuum out there once you get up higher to the cabin's pressurized.
Yeah, well, if the plane's going 300 or 400 miles an hour, I would think the Venturi effect would take hold and maybe suck your lungs right out the garden hose, out the window.
You know, I think you're right, Shazam, because it's not only the Venturi effect, but it's also what Scott said, buddy, that you've got a lesser pressure up there. That's why they have to pressurize the cabin.
Yeah.
So you have the vacuum effect and the Venturi effect.
So Ben,
blue in the face
so basically, I'm just stuck like Chuck, and I gotta get sprayed. All right, so you know, Stephen Gibbons posted a link in there in the chat room, and I'm saying we live in such a insane world, such a wonderful world we live in that we find ourselves being included in.
What a world! Apparently,
in New York, powerful blast injures at least 29 in Manhattan. Second device found. So now you got folks out there blowing each other up. So that's going to make it even worse at the doggone airport and the train stations. I ain't never going to get to ride a train again the rest of my life. I'm never going to get to ride a plane or possibly even a boat, because, you know, anytime the government has any say about what comes on the plane and what doesn't come on the plane, how you can dress or what you can't wear or whatever, you can't even take fingernail clippers on the plane. Do you know that?
Wow.
Is that crazy? Have you ever seen a list of all the things you can't take on a plane? Somebody find that list. Find the list of what you can't take on a plane. So they got these like trash receptacles that every time somebody comes there and they search and they have to pull out something that they can't take on the plane, it ends up in this big pile. I wonder if people are like got a black market for fingernail clippers and small pocket knives and whatever else it is that you can't, you know, like, obviously the doggone, the passenger, unless there's somebody like me who's going to come all the way back just to get my fingernail clippers on the way back through, you know, ain't going to come back for a pair of fingernail clippers.
I didn't know you couldn't bring fingernail clippers on a plane.
Well, look it up, man. There's all kinds of things.
How deep can you dig in with a pair of nail clippers?
I don't know. You can probably jab somebody in the eyeball or something. You can put an eye out.
That's with one of them bubblegum knives.
You know, maybe you scream real loud when you try to rip that hangnail out or something. I don't know. It's the government we're talking about. You know how brilliant the people in the government are. Man. They're the ones that say... Everyone say, oh, you know, it's just, it's not that much. It ain't going to make you that sick, you know. So if you feel a little nauseous, go hang over the trash can for a bit and we'll fan some air your way. And when you feel better, you can, you know, head on to your vacation spot. Does that sound like what you hear when the government tells you everything's going to be just fine?
Yeah.
Stand in line and get your shot, man. Take your shoestrings off so you don't lint yourself on the plane by accident.
So back to sleep. Your government has everything in control.
This, you know, I think it was Thomas told me to go watch this doggone movie. Was it called Idiocracy, Thomas?
Yeah.
Yep.
You gotta go watch this movie. Literally. I mean, if you're an intelligent individual who has rational thought on a daily basis, you have to go watch this video. Because if society isn't going down the same path as what you see in that video, I will eat my hat. The government's already acting like that. You can't even get on the plane without all the crazy stuff you gotta go through. The food on the plane ain't nothing to brag about.
You read the list to you now?
Yeah.
Aerosols, blasting caps, chlorine for pools and spas, dynamite, electronic cigarettes and vaporing devices, fire extinguishers and other compressed gas cylinders, fireworks, flammable liquid, gel, or aerosol paint, flammable paints, fuels, gas torches, gasoline, cell-type candles, or gel-type candles, hand grenades, oh yeah, like I'm going to take a hand grenade, lighter fluid, lighters, liquid bleach, non-flammable liquid gel or aerosol, non-flammable liquid gel or aerosol again? There you go. They really mean that one. Realistic replicas of explosives, realistic replicas of incendiaries, recreational oxygen, safety matches, small compressed gas cartridges, spillable batteries, spray paint, strike anywhere matches, tear gas, torch lighters, turpentine and paint thinners, and vehicle airbags. That's it.
That's it.
Now, I didn't mention anything about fingernail clippers.
Well, when the heck the fingernail clippers come in here? Because I saw a video a while back where they talked about they taking that stuff too.
So no mention of mercury?
None at all. No lead either.
Well, a lot of the stuff that was on your list right there, I don't think the average Joe carries around a hand grenade in their purse or pocket anyway. It just don't.
The average Joe carries around hand grenades or incendiaries or whatever.
And dynamite, anybody with any common sense wouldn't take dynamite or a hand grenade on the plane that they're going to ride on unless they're kind of suicidal and want to take a bunch of passengers with them or something like that.
What about plastic?
You can tell you that lighter. All you've got to do is pull it in. Wrong lighter.
Yeah, see, that's... Look, man. It's like the world has become so chronically paranoid it isn't even remotely funny. You know, I thought I had problems.
Standard rule with dynamite is you never transport dynamite and blasting caps in the same vehicle because a two-way radio can set off the electric blasting cap.
Alright, so wait a second. Where did you find that list at?
I just typed in restricted items on airplanes.
Alright, got somebody else type in and see if you get a different result with a different list, because maybe it's like depending on which airport you fly at, what they deem to be, you know. For Pete's sake, in school, kid gets sent to the principal's office for chewing his Pop-Tart in the shape of a gun. You know?
Hey, it's the internet. Guess what? It was on the internet. It's true, right? It has to be.
Well, I don't say trust anything because you can't trust. That's why I don't trust the mainstream media. That's why I don't trust the alternative media. Well, if somebody would have told me a year or so ago that, you know, they've been spraying people down with bug spray in the airplane, I would have thought that was a conspiracy theory unless I saw it for myself, you know, but apparently they really are, man. You know, why, what's in, did they put a, apparently if you buy a ticket, then you automatically agree to being sprayed down by this stuff when you get on the plane. Because you know the airline's going to protect themselves. That's why the doctor always asks you if you're allergic to anything. And then they always have you sign a deal that says you won't sue them if they give you the wrong medicine or something like that. You know, unless it's like really, really bad malpractice or something like that. So, I don't know, man. I gotta sit here and type this in here because I gotta find out what you can't take on the plane. What? I'm typing in the wrong keyboard. Alright. So, I kinda lost my train of thought. What you cannot take on an airplane. Can.
Two things that they mentioned make a lot of sense. Hairsprays and cigarette lighters. I mean, right there, you have a flamethrower.
Well, how did... Okay, hold on. Back up here. We got a problem. One of the things that you said was propellants, right? Pressurized cans?
Exactly.
Now, why?
The power for spraying the bug sprays on people.
Yeah. So, what's the deal here? man. It's, yeah, you got two sets of rules. One for
what,
the planet.
What? Yeah, they're exempt for their, from their rules. You didn't know that?
So that means that they can talk and text on their cellular device on the airplane and spray propellants and probably carry hand grenades and dynamite on the bus or the plane or the train.
Planes, bane, and trains, and automobiles, huh?
Yeah, we need to. We probably lost some more listeners because of IQ. So let's try to get a couple more. Paul, terrorist, dodecahedron. All right, prohibited items. Threats. Carry-on luggage restricted checklist. Baggage items air safe. Banned on. 10 surprising items not allowed in hand baggage. Okay, let's check this out. Okay. Don't get caught out. We reveal 10 things you'd be surprised you can't take on an airplane. Do? You can't take tent pegs. You might poke somebody with it. You can't take multiple cigarette lighters. I guess two would be multiple.
Just the one that looks like a grenade.
Yeah. So we're up to two things here. Oh, man.
Or a handgun. The one that looks like a handgun, you can't take that lighter either.
Yeah. Well, some of the things may... Oh, wait a second. Hold on. We got a problem. Houston, we have a problem. You can't take soup on the airplane. You can't take... well, this says... this... What? Hold on. This website must be nuts. Now, this says Clipper. It's a, but it's a hairspray can that says Clipper. All right. Can't take, number four, you can't take 10 liters of Curious by Britney Spears. Is that like cologne? You can't take cologne or a perfume on the plane? You can't take medicine on the plane.
Can't take your mama on the plane.
Yeah. You can't take badmintons on the plane.
Cologne flammable.
Well, why can't you take badmintons on the plane?
Wait a minute. Perfumes and colognes can come in spray containers. And like I said, again, with a cigarette lighter and a can of perfume that's under pressure, duh, you have a flamethrower.
Well, I guess the badminton could use to smack the passenger a seat or two ahead of you, so that makes sense. You can't take fishing rods. Who's going to take a fishing rod on an airplane anyway? You can't take cordless drills, for Pete's sake.
In case somebody gets bored, yeah.
You can't take peroxide. You can't take road flares. Who would take a road flare on a doggone plane? Seriously. All right, well, see, this falls back to that whole safety labeling thing.
That's a flare gun.
They got to label things. Like Thomas said, don't look into the laser with the remaining eye. All right, here's 25 things you didn't know you could bring on an airplane. Let me see. This is posted on Huffington Post. This ought to be a hoot. All right, what can you bring on the plane? Come on. Why do people got to have so much advertising that it takes forever for the doggone page to load and scroll? Alright. Everyone knows what you can't...
It's because you're not using any ad blocking software. That's why they gotta have it.
Everyone knows what you can't bring on the plane but ice skates, hatchets, and monkey wrenches. Bring them on. Ice skates, hatchets, and monkey wrenches. Bring them on. Turns out you can bring a much greater range of items onto a plane than you think. As shown in this enlightening guide, from Cheap Flights, some surprising items like mini alcohol bottles you can bring on, soccer cleats. Now hold on. Why are you going to bring soccer cleats on a plane?
Alright. You can slap somebody upside the head with that.
Yeah, cleat somebody on the face or something.
They must be talking about that one with the steel cleats.
Yeah, well.
The rubber ones ain't going to do nothing.
They'll still hurt, man. They'll leave pock marks on your face.
Yeah.
So,
high heels are dangerous. A woman can take a high heel and hit you in the top of the head and it will penetrate. Third ones?
You can bring cleats if they are packed accordingly. To Transportation Security Administration instructions, you gotta pack them to the Transportation Security Administrations and then you can bring them on. So that maybe they gotta be in bubble wrap in a locked container, which that's going to slow you down because they're going to think you got something you ain't supposed to have in there. Anyway, other items like martial arts weapons are only permitted if checked, if in your checked luggage. So you can have martial arts items under the plane in the luggage you can't get access to. But that, how's that going to stop you from getting to the other side and breaking out your nunchucks and slapping people silly because the ride, you was like delirious from the bug spray that they, polluted your lungs with. Just stay out of the airport, man. No matter.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It said it's going to give me a 25 list of things you could carry on there, but I don't see the 25 list.
Hey, Ben, let's build an ultralight with an extra tank and go travel.
I like that idea.
Miscellaneous items. You can bring a banjo on the plane.
Now that's kind of crazy. You take some strings out there and just tie them off to anything you got in your pocket, two pocket phones, you know, and you can sit there and put that around somebody's head and lock it up.
You could do some damage with a banjo, man.
Oh yeah.
Redneck hijacks plane.
Somebody with a hammer.
Redneck hijacks playing with banjo while playing doodling banjos.
Paddle faster, I hear banjos.
You know, I know this all sounds ridiculous, man, but come on. You can't do anything these days. You can't go... they locked the schools down like Fort Knox. Used to be you could just walk in, take your kid to school, you know, and make sure he made the classroom all right. And now you can't. You got to buzz in. Got to have a visitor badge, and now, you know, there's certain things you can't carry on school property. You can't do a lot of things. It's just like the whole world is getting so doggone paranoid. You can't ride on planes with certain items. You can't. You used to be able to just walk up there with your ticket, give them your ticket, and maybe you had to go through a metal detector. I don't remember. Did they always have metal detectors, Raymond, that you can remember?
No, they didn't always have them. I remember flying back and forth to Oklahoma City.
I can remember a time you could just walk up there and give them your ticket and get on the plane.
That was basically it. I flew from Dallas to Oklahoma City every Friday night and back every Sunday night for 3 or 4 or 5 months. And I never saw a metal detector.
Well, and you never got hijacked, or you never did any hijacking. Oh, here's a good knife. Here's a good list. Sporting goods, kitchen utensils, tools, and other items with sharp edges or points capable of injuring a person. That you prohibited items and weapons that you can't take. Can't take axes, I can see that. You know, hatches, I can see that. Or similar, axes, hatches, or machetes, or stuff like that. You can't take box cutters, we all know why that is. What the heck is a crampons?
I ain't gonna tell me.
It's C-R-A-M-P-O-N-S, crampons. Crampons. That sounds terrible. I say you shouldn't take that on there. Anything sounds like cramp.
Is that tampons for female Krampuses?
I don't know what it is. It's it's on the list. It's C-R-A-M-P-O-N-S. Cramp-ons. All right, now, the next one in line is darts. I can understand why you wouldn't take darts, especially lawn darts, because lawn darts are dangerous.
Sharp as lawn darts.
Yeah. You can't take drills. You can't take ice axes or ice picks. It says here you can't take ice skates. You can't take knives or knife-like whether or not made of metal, including leather working knives. So you can't take that plastic knife that you would be able to get past the metal detector with. And you can't take meat cleavers. You can't take metal cutlery. Isn't meat cleavers a portion of metal cutlery? No? Yeah? Man, you're all slow on the draw today.
Yeah, that's the one that you chop right through the bone and everything with, yeah.
All right, okay, the crampon is a metal device that you strap onto your feet that has really sharp, long, like fingernails sticking out of it where you climb up sheets of ice for mountain climbers and stuff like that.
Well, who the heck would carry that on an airplane anyway?
You put that on your feet, you could hurt somebody real bad. When in a kicking contest, when you get in a butt kicking contest, you could be blind and do some damage.
Man. Sounds ruthless. Anyway, you can't take an open straight razor. You can't take rock climbing equipment such as pitons, hooks, hammers, and bolts. You can't take saws. You can't take scalpels. You can't take screwdrivers, crowbars, hammers, pliers, and wrenches, ski poles, or utility knives.
Sawzalls and chainsaws.
You can't take letter openers. What is a bodkins? B-O-D-K-I-N-S. Bodkins.
For $200, Alex?
Yeah. Pointed metal scissors, manicure scissors, and scissors with blades more than 6 centimeters long. You can't take razor blades. They already mentioned that. Hypodermic needles without proof it is medically required. So you can't take your doggone drug needles on.
All right. I've never seen a pair of scissors that weren't at least 6 centimeters long.
Blunt items that are able to use to bludgeon or threaten to bludgeon a person. Baseball, softball, and cricket bats. You can't take those. You can't take billiard pool, or snooker cues. Hockey or lacrosse sticks or golf clubs. Pieces of wood, metal, or any other material big enough to threaten a person. You can't take aerosol containers including spray paint, petrol, or any other flammable liquid. There's the whole flamethrower deal. Fireworks. Yeah, like, who's going to fire off some Roman candles in the doggone airplane?
Hey, there's people that literally point them at their face and fired them off on their face, so I can see them being dumb enough to bring them on the airplane and try to fire them off.
You got me there, man. You got a point. I saw the video.
and then act like they're surprised that it hurt.
You can't take toy caps. You cannot take...
It is a replaceable arrowhead.
Oh, I can see that. Alright, you can't take cable ties or handcuffs. So for all you bondage people, take and leave your toys at home.
You're funny, man. I love that. Leave your toys.
Yeah. So weapons. You can't take firearms. Well, they just listed off a bunch of things that could be used as weapons. I wonder if you could take pencils or ink pens on the plane.
You can do a lot of damage with a pencil.
Yeah, or even a crayon for that matter. You poke somebody in the eye with a crayon or shove it up their nose or in their ear or shove it down their throat and they choke on it. I think just about anything could be used as weapons. You're going to have to, you could strangle somebody to death with your clothes. You're going to have to get naked, get on a plane, ride across the other side, and they'll mail you your clothes via UPS, and you wait there until you get them. Alright, so firearms, you can't take on, you can't take daggers, flick knives, that must be like a switchblade or something, or star knives. You can't take disabling or incapacitating chemical gases, sprays, and mace, pepper spray, or capsaicin, or mace, or, oh, I already said that, or spray, tear gas, acid sprays, animal repellent sprays. You can't take martial arts equipment such as knuckle dusters. What is a knuckle duster? I know what brass knuckles are. You can't take clubs, cautious, nunchucks, kubatons, or I ain't even going to read any more of that crazy stuff. Blow torches, explosives, explosive flares of any form, or smoke cartridges, crossbows, spear guns, slingshots, bows and arrows, stun guns, flares, gunpowder, spears, and dangerous goods. Well, we just listed off tons of dangerous stuff. Explosives, compressive gases, poisons, lithium batteries. Hold on. Can't take lithium batteries on the phone. Look, you got to leave your cell phone.
Got to leave your laptop.
Yeah, got to leave your laptop. For those of you that got a pacemaker or a doggone, what do you call those?
Defibrillator
or a doggone earbud for your hearing aid or whatever that has lithium batteries in there, you gotta yank them suckers out. Leave them behind, man. Sorry about your luck. Oh, you can't take radioactive material. I can understand.
Okay. Knuckle duster refers to brass knuckles, but knuckle duster refers to anything and everything that you put on your hand where you actually hit the person with that piece of metal.
Hey.
And there's many different designs of them. That's why you have one phrase that covers all of them. That's knuckle duster.
What about them gangsters that wear all them doggone big giant rings all over their fingers?
Yeah, that could be a knuckle duster.
Or even your car keys. They show, like in some self-defense things, you can put your car keys in between each one of your fingers and punch somebody in the face.
Knuckle duster.
Hey, can't take your car keys. Can't, gotta take your rings off. You can't take any strong acids.
So the short list is you can take stupid on there.
Yeah. So I'm about done reading all the dangerous stuff that you can't take on the airplane.
Really, you got a whole hour to fill up.
Well. Oh, wait a second. Hold on. Items permitted. Alright, you can take a plastic cutlery knife on the plane. Seriously? Didn't the last list say you couldn't take a plastic knife? Fork with squared end or a round-ended tines on it. So if the fork isn't pointy, you can bring a fork, a plastic fork. Blunt-ended or round-ended scissors with blades less than 6 centimeters long. A safety razor, which I guess is like the ones that you buy from, the disposable jobbers that the blade don't stick out far enough to cut somebody's throat or something. But don't they know that the prisoners modify them with a Bic lighter and make knives out of them? I better not say that too loud. You won't be able to shave on the plane anymore either. Hypodermic needles, if accompanied by medical proof. Flammable goods, matches and lighters. You said you couldn't take that. You couldn't take perfume, lighter fluid, or alcohol. Yeah. Who cares? I'm never going on a plane anyway. But if you guys ever decide you're going to go on a plane, at least look at the to-dos and the to-don't list to decide. Make your choice that way so you know whether or not you want to go through the hassle.
Hey, Thomas is going to fly from Oklahoma down Louisville to see me here in about 2 weeks.
Well, good. We can use Thomas as a guinea pig to see what can and can't be done.
I can still take a bus.
Dude, pump the kind of flying, man. Come on.
Best will not fit on the airplane. All right.
Hey, I want to tell you about taking a bus, Thomas. One time I decided I was going to take a bus from Florida to Missouri. All right?
That's a long ways.
Yeah, well, I only thought because it only takes 24 hours to drive in a car, somewhere around about 22
to 23 days.
Well, yeah, well, I didn't realize that. Okay, so I get on a bus thinking I'm only going to be a one-day travel max, maybe a day and a half, ain't that bad. So I didn't really plan for the trip, like, you know, groceries-wise, because, you know, I could go a whole day without no food. Maybe in a day and a half, I'd be all right. I had enough for maybe a soda and a bag of chips or something like that. So I started off on my journey, and, man, we stopped in every little doggone nook and cranny, every small town, and then some in every doggone place that we passed through. There were more stops and more layovers than you could shake a stick at. By the time I got to the doggone other end of Missouri, I got in like after midnight. So nobody in my neighborhood was even awake. So I'd have to call to get a ride from somebody. I got to wake somebody up out of bed to get there. But I got there like almost three and a half days later, dead near starved to death. You know, drinking that cruddy water at every place that I stopped. You know, they say don't drink the water. Well, sometimes you just got to drink whatever you can get your hands on whenever it gets over there to the other dealer. It was a it was a terrible ride. Look, I'm halfway through the journey, I think, and I'm starting to get the old growl in the belly. I'm starting to get hungry, right? And so I mentioned to this guy that I kind of hooked up with, we was like talking, you know, on the ride on the bus, because he was riding the bus to like St. Louis or something like that. And so we got to talking, and anyway, we started talking about how we was getting hungry, you know. And the moment we talked about getting hungry, we started passing the billboards that had like Hardee's and Burger King, you know, with Big Macs plastered up on the doggone deal, or this restaurant with, you know, that
you're talking insult to injury here.
Yeah. And so
did you happen to notice whenever you got to the bus stations and whatnot too that there was no place to get anything to eat except at the bus station? Everything was extremely expensive at the bus station.
Yeah, and the doggone vending machines that most generally take your money but won't give you nothing. Yeah, it was a mess, man. And it was the most miserable 3.5 days of my life riding the bus. So I'd say you're probably got a little bit better if you're just going to Texas. You know, you shouldn't be on the bus that long.
Yeah, it ain't that bad to ride the bus as long as you know what to expect.
Well,
you got to know what to expect.
Well,
I took the bus up to Whitehall, New York, because I was going to bring my grandmother back in a U-Haul. My grandfather died. Well, no, I was moving her. I moved all her stuff into the U-Haul and drove that back.
I'm sorry, did you sound redneckish?
I needed to sing at a wedding while I was up there. And the first layover, this guy takes my guitar out of the bottom and goes, puts it in this other bus that's fixing the depart. I said, oh, no, that goes with me. I got to sing at a wedding. He laughed and smiled. He said, oh, it'll get there.
Man.
He says, it has to have too much luggage, and basically you can't go on that. No, that stays with me. And he laughed, and he stuck it in the bus, you know, and I was young. So he closed that thing. Guaranteed, it did not show up at the other end, and it did not show back up in Texas, and I asked about it all the way. It was 2 months before I got my guitar.
Man.
2 months. I told him it was a $1,500 guitar. That's when they started coming, you know, oh, you didn't insure it. I said, oh, no, I don't need to insure it. You guys are responsible for taking care of my items automatically.
Yeah.
I said, I want $1,500 over my guitar. My guitar came back. The finish was chipped. And you can tell that somebody leaned it against something that slid down, because it had a line of marks where it bounced in, as it slid.
Dang.
Down the back side of the neck.
All right, let's get Thomas's travel plans together so that he doesn't have an episode. Somebody Google up skin suits. They make these skin suits where, you know, it's almost like you're naked, but you're not naked because you actually got this skin suit on. Somebody Google up that. We can get a price on that so that Thomas can wear that. That could be his clothes, and then they can blatantly, obviously see that he's not carrying nothing. All right.
Take a half hour for a price to get up your rubber suit.
Yeah. And we need to make sure he's got food supplies that can't be misconstrued as weapons. So we have to figure out what we can actually send him to eat so that, you know, crackers, I guess crackers would be okay. You like crackers, Thomas? I think he got mad looks. I would get mad and leave if somebody talked about putting me in a skin suit and on a bus or a plane too, so we're just trying to help a brother out. We want him to get there safe without having all the hassles, man. Come on. Planes, trains, and automobiles.
I'd give him a minute. He probably had to swap headphones.
Yeah. Either that or he's like disgusted laying on the floor laughing his booty off. Or planning revenge.
Sorry, I was out buying some fruitcakes. There's some people that are deserving them.
I told you I made him mad, buddy. Now he's going to mail me a fruitcake. Doggone it.
A fruitcake.
Was it a man fruitcake?
You only give fruitcakes to those you despise. Look, man.
I'm getting a fruitcake in the shape of a baseball bat.
Oh, Thomas. Thomas.
$9.95. And there's 20 plus different colors and sizes and shapes.
Of skin suits? Raymond? Raymond?
That's the yes. Yes, the skin suit is $39.95.
And they come in multiple colors? So what's your favorite color, Thomas?
Multiple colors.
Man, I'm just not going to go then.
Hey, they even have one that's mimics a Santa Claus outfit.
Oh, there you go. That's the one he needs. And I think
one of those for Shazoo's, man.
I think
different country flags. You got a black, silver, and gold. Oh, and one of them looks like a tuxedo.
I tell you what,
it's still only $39.95.
I think Thomas found a loophole to the weapons on the plane deal. The fruitcake. All right, it's blunt, it's sharp, it's not sharp on any edge, but it could be used as a weapon. I'm serious.
It could be used to threaten people.
Yeah, I'll either make you eat this fruitcake or I'll throw it at you one or two. You better like give me control of this plane.
Hey, what do you call them guys? The sumo wrestlers, right? The sumo wrestlers, big heavy dudes.
Yeah.
They got a bodysuit that looks like that, too.
Cool. Look, I'll tell you what. I want...
They didn't have bodysuits that make you look like the Jane's Addiction guy?
I want the Santa Claus suit. I want the Santa Claus skin suit, a fruitcake, and a paid ticket to your house.
I want the highest visibility, by God.
I'll get on the plane.
OSHA-certified orange.
I'll get on the plane with the Santa Claus suit and the fruitcake and endure the gropage, because like, you know, when they come over to search you for weapons, I mean, it's going to be blatantly obvious, but you know they're going to like do the process anyway. You know, I'm going to need some guinea pig to go along with me to videotape the whole scenario. You know, that ought to be interesting.
You know, you definitely would not want to wear the sumo wrestler suit and get on an airplane, because then they'd want to charge you double for your seat because taking up two seats.
Mm. See, that's another thing, man. They're mean to fat people. You know?
Discrimination.
Yeah.
You know, that actually did happen here a few years back. A lady was so big, I mean, her butt took up two full seats. and they tried their best to charge her. I don't know whether they did or not, but they tried to charge her a double fare.
All they gotta do is put some skinny guy like me right beside her. There'll be plenty of room. Man. I'm just saying.
Yeah, they do charge by the skinny.
Hell, if it was me, I'd want to sit.
No, wait a minute. If it's twice the fare for two seats, then that means Shazuz gets to ride for free, right?
Yeah!
I
can sit on the armrest.
Like, man, I'm not going to take any room. I'll just look like a silhouette against the wall.
We could put them in the duffel bag and stick them up in the baggage compartment up there at the top.
Hey!
You know, Shazuz is so skinny, if you stripped it down, start naked, sitting sideways in the sun, his shadow would look like a zipper.
Well, speaking of shadows, listen to this. I got a brilliant plan. I know how I can get over there for free if you pay Thomas's fare. I'll just dress in one of them black skin suits and stay up against the wall, and whenever he's walking towards the plane, I'll just tell everybody, oh, don't mind me, I'm just his shadow. What do you think?
I think a puppy like coming up that would believe you.
We got a Bugs Bunny cartoon about to break out here.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Next thing you know, Shazuz is going to break out the portable hole and throw it on the ground to jump into.
Well, and I would too, and that's how, if the airplane gets in trouble, Bugs Bunny says that all you gotta do is wait till it gets close to the ground and step out.
And hit the air brakes.
Yeah, the air brakes. And if it runs out of gas, it'll stop in the air anyway, so.
I don't see why that wouldn't work.
Yeah. I think the laws of physics would have a little bit to say about it, but that's okay, we could try it. Now, anyway, back to seriousness, ma'am. Look, you can't get on a doggone airplane without having all this crazy... Who in the heck would want to fly? Who in the heck would want to risk their health? Okay, alright, so what? You know, they're going to spray some bug spray. It's not that much, and I don't fly all the time, so it's not going to get in my lungs. Some of these carcinogenics that get down into your system are what cause things down the line. You know, it's kind of like how a oyster makes a pearl. Everybody, whoever studied oysters, understands that oyster, like, can't just spit something out whenever, the oyster opens its mouth to yawn, right? He's getting ready to go to bed. He goes, ooh, like that. Well, a big wave comes along and slops a piece of sand up inside the oyster's mouth, and the oyster can't just spit it out, so it starts to coat that doggone piece of sand up and keeps recoating it because it can't get rid of it. It's a foreign object, and eventually you end up with a pearl. All right? And so, with that said, the same thing could apply with any synthetic you put in your body that your body can't get rid of. Your body's immune system will start to attack whatever it can't get rid of, and if it can't attack it, it'll keep coating it over until the next thing you know, you got this big knot and a mass that's pressing down on your liver or your kidneys or your lungs, and you can't breathe. That kind of stuff. So,
well, how come they don't let you know what's in that bug spray that they spray up there?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be just more chemtrail. They say, well, you're up here, you're not getting sprayed down there. We don't want you to miss out.
You hit probably the key to the conspiracy, Muddy, because if you're in the airplane and you're spraying from the airplane, then you're not getting your daily dose. So that's probably what you're probably right. You're getting a dose of what the people on the ground are getting.
What's
mercury? Somebody look up. There was an airplane with a rock band in it a long time ago that flushed their toilet at 30,000 feet and dropped a big chunk of blue ice in somebody's bathroom through the roof. Is that one of those urban myths, or was that a real event?
What is blue ice?
Huh?
What is blue ice?
Well, that's basically what would happen whenever you flushed the commode at 30,000 feet and it froze before it hit the ground.
Yeah, they use a blue liquid, Shazuz.
Yeah.
It's a sanitary liquid, and it freezes it at a lot higher temperature than regular water.
So, there you go, man. You can't look.
That's about real cold.
there's where Chicken Little would have been justified by running around hollering the sky is falling. Literally. You can't trust the government. You can't trust the civilians. You can't trust nobody. Everybody's running around like chickens with their head cut off, getting groped at the airport and complaining about everything under the sun. I just ain't going to ride the plane, man.
You have to get me a shirt that says no groping.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. You just made me another brilliant money-making idea. Alright, I'm going to get me a shirt and post fees on it for anybody doing anything to me, right? And if you do this, then you have to pay me by implied consent. You have to pay me $25,000 to touch any portion of my body.
In other words, you're going to be an extremely high-paid male hooker, right?
Yeah. So, if I go to the airport, groping's going to cost you $100,000 per grope.
Groping fee, yeah.
Yeah, groping fee.
And I'll be up there today.
Any intrusive video or pictures are copyrighted instantaneously by me and will cost you $700,000. So, if you take an x-ray, then you got to pay up. On demand. So when I get to the airport, TSA and all the security folks better have their money ready, have their checkbooks out. I don't take credit cards. What do you think?
I think you're an extremely high-paid hooker, and I'm not touching you.
You got to give me 25 grand, man.
If you stop and think about it, you just ain't got that much to grow, kid.
Well,
you don't. First, I know they could stand under a clothesline during a hailstorm and not get wet.
That could be beneficial for me. So, like, one hand could cover more surface area. So that's like multiple parts you just touched. So that's $25,000 for that. $25,000 for that. I'm gonna make $75,000 per handshake. What do you think?
I still think you're a high-paid, dirty old hooker.
Yeah, well, I ain't, let's just solve this issue and say I ain't going to fly on an airplane. Forget.
There you go. Thomas, don't listen to him. You fly.
Yeah, go ahead and fly, Thomas. Let us know how it worked out for you.
First subject changed to the customer attitude.
Yeah. Make sure that you don't say nothing that you shouldn't say on an airplane, Thomas. Thomas! He's gone again.
You know, those people that are at the airport and security, they don't take jokes lightly.
Oh, yeah, I know. There's folks on the airplane, they've got some videos out there on YouTube that said some stupid things on the airplane and end up getting the air marshals on them.
I've her and a co-worker had to go fly on an airplane, and he was carrying one of those round cardboard tubes and with blueprints and stuff in it, and one of the security people asked him, said, what do we got there? He said, oh, that's just my bazooka. Buddy, three of them jumped on him and knocked him to the ground, handcuffed him behind his back. They detained him for over 6 hours while they checked him out.
Yeah, they probably got him for being a wise guy.
Exactly.
And if being a wise guy is a felony, I gotta stay out of public because I go to jail, man. In a hurry.
Oh, I know something else that you cannot take on a guitar, on a phone anymore.
What's that?
Even Willie Nelson cannot take his guitar out of the United States because they have a deal about the wood and its origin and where it comes from and all that stuff. Fender guitar almost got shut down. They tried several times. They smashed the wood that they had and all that stuff. All because of wood. Specialty woods. The extra taxes and all that stuff. They will take your guitar on an airplane.
That's a mess.
You can't have it back. Willie Nelson will not take his guitar he's been playing. You see the front of it's all wore out and stuff from strumming. He
yep.
can't take it out plane out of the United States. He can keep it in the United States, but he can't take it out of the United States.
Can you take a harmonica on board?
You know, that's debatable. It's got a lot of sharp objects inside. All you got to do is spin those little screws out.
What about a piano?
That's like having a straight razor.
All right, so like that, like a lot of this don't sound like it's make any doggone sense. It all sounds crazy and a bunch of crazy talk. But the reality of the deal is, we're living in a world where everybody's so doggone chronically paranoid it ain't even remotely funny. There's a terrorist underneath every doggone bed, and behind every bush, in the closet. There's a terrorist in everybody. Anybody's a potential terrorist. It don't matter, man. If you just came from Howard Johnson's hotel with a towel on your head, number one, you stole the towel because you ain't supposed to take the towels out of the motel. Number two, you're going to look like a terrorist. They're going to get you, man. So, what do you do with all that, man? I'd just say don't fly. Plain and simple, don't fly. What do you think? Crickets.
Yeah, that means don't go to school either. I mean, I know all of us, man. When we went to school, we didn't have them doggone metal detectors and wands and stuff. And we didn't have police standing at the door and grumping about somebody chewing a doggone Pop-Tart in the shape of a gun or pointing their finger like a gun. They go to jail for that now.
Yep.
Yeah. We didn't have no problem. We just came to school. We showed off our butt knives and stuff like that.
Yeah, I remember time they used to have these little things that go on your belt that you could actually carry your buck knife out in the open on there. And I actually seen kids wearing those in school back in my day. You know? Understandably, it probably wasn't a brilliant idea to take a weapon to school, but, you know, it's somebody's intentions. If you intend on hurting somebody, you just get your weapon when you get to school. It's as simple as that. Find the shady guy in the corner and buy something from him, or go down to the lunchroom and get something down there. And you can do a lot of damage with some of the dictionaries out there. I mean, you can clock somebody with a dictionary. And as far as dangerous items to take on a plane, there's so many dangerous items on a plane that ain't even remotely funny. You can do a lot of damage with the belt that you wear, you hold your pants up with. Especially if it's got one of them big old Texas bell buckles on there, right, Raymond?
You got that right.
Hardback on a bridge dictionary.
I'll tell you what, I've been hit by one of them big old Texas bell buckles a couple of times. It's not nothing to laugh about. That's for daggone sure.
Yeah, and it'll have a little saying on the belt buckle that says, "Don't mess with Texas."
Exactly. And then you got the belt buckle that has the figurine of Yosemite Sam holding up a big old can of whip ass. It says, "Don't make me open it."
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't understand this, man. I don't know why they want to get violent with each other anyway. You know, but the fact that your average Joe just can't even go amongst their daily life in peace without being hindered by all these rules and regulations shows that Big Brother and Big Sister are at work. You know, they're taking care of you. They're keeping you safe. Before too long, you're going to have specified clothing that you can wear on there. Everybody has to be wrapped in bubble wrap, and you know, that's it. We're turning into mush people, man.
Talking about the belt buckles. We used to play this game. We'd get on the bed. Well, two of us. There were three of us. So two of us would get on the bed. We'd take turns doing this. And we took the quilt. We put it over us. We try to keep the quilt in the air. You know, you keep pushing it up, pushing it up, pushing it up, and getting your hand back real quick. And you're supposed to take the leather end of the belt and beat the quilt. And, my sister got angry, and she had her turn, and she grabbed it by the leather end instead of hitting with that just a regular buckle. I mean, it messed my knuckles up, man. Every time I tried to push up on it, she'd swing and hit me. And it got my brother, too. We finally, we fought like cats and dogs, man. We both got off, but we whipped their butts.
Speaking of whipping butts, let me ask
you. And then we all got in trouble.
Let me ask you guys a question. Y'all know what a fist fight is. But you ever, in your entire life, ever witnessed a belt fight where people pull their belts off and start whipping the heck out of each other?
Yes, I have.
That's just insane. They used to do that. You get somebody get in a fight, and they'd pull their belt off, and the other guy'd pull their belt off. They'd fold them over in a loop, and they'd start beating the heck out of each other with it. I guess it's better than a ball bat or a switchblade or a gun, but it's ridiculous to watch. You know, and I guess whoever can hang out in there long enough without the pain, you know. But, you know, let's say you get the wild child of the family who's used to getting his behind tanned all the time. He's going to fare better than the guy who ain't never had the experience before, wouldn't you think?
I don't think. I know you are absolutely correct. But when you get the belts, it's strictly a contest of who can take the most pain.
Yep.
And I always win those fights.
I'm starting to think...
And stepmother, extremely abusive.
I'm starting to think that the population of planet Earth are mentally challenged. Disturbed. I think that all the chemicals being sprayed in the air and on the plane, and they actually said they spray the planes down before anybody gets on anyway, so it's already pre-sprayed. So they're spraying it on the walls and the seats and in the air, so basically the plane is polluted to and fro, and spraying it in the air, they're spraying it on the food. You go to the grocery store, walk down and read the labels. It's like going to a chemistry lab or a hardware store of some of the things that's actually, you know, in the food. And the processes by which they actually refine stuff, there's a term out there. I can't remember what the actual phrase is. Pasteurized. You know what pasteurizing is?
Yes, pasteurizing, when you take two or more liquids and mix them together to where they do not separate, but on their normal conditions they would.
Yeah. Does that sound like something that needs to be done to, like,
food? Oh, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. That's homogenized. Pasteurized is to heat something up to kill all the bacteria in it, and pasteurizing of milk is 120 degrees for 20 minutes.
So why... If the food was sanitary to begin with, why would you even have to boil out all the crud?
You would.
So, you know, by mass producing a lot of food, like, you know, I don't know, let's say bacon, for instance. Now, I better not go down this road, because there's a lot of food that I found out about a long time ago that you might not want to eat after you watch the documentary on how they eat it and what it's made out of. And there's actually a document out there by the Food and Drug Administration that'll tell you how many parts per million of certain things, like insect legs, can be in certain products.
Yeah, it's like less than 3%.
So I'm starting to wonder whether or not Steven said something about don't eat yellow or blue snow. And he sent a link to Wikipedia. I'm going to have to click that link to find out what's going on.
I remember watching a documentary about the fast food markets and stuff, and they even fingered Taco Bell on their meat. Holy moly. If you saw that, you wouldn't want to eat Taco Bell anymore.
So, yeah, there's something to be said for just not knowing, man. You know? I'd rather not know where certain things are made. Walk through the world dumb. Blue ice in the context of aviation is frozen sewage material leaked mid-flight from commercial aircraft, lavatories, waste systems, and bio-waste mixture of human waste and liquid disinfectant that freezes at high altitude. The name comes from the blue color of the disinfectant. Airlines are not allowed to dump their waste tank in mid-flight, and pilots have no mechanism by which to do so. However, leaks can occur. So, how did the rock band, and maybe it's an urban legend, how did the rock band flush the commode over, you know, the city like that? Anybody know?
somebody forgot to replace the holding tank after emptying it.
Years ago, they did actually do that. And that's where the came from. So, evidently, it's a high possibility that it is true, fable, a true thing.
All right, well, in that case, who in this crazy world would remotely think that that would even be amusing to drop a bunch of frozen crud onto a city, man? It's like a ice meteor coming into coming in for landing that when it thaws out, it's not going to smell good.
Yeah, there's a lot of things they did years ago that they found out later that wasn't good and changed the laws and the rules. But they did dump human waste years ago, out of airplanes.
Well,
most of the time, not in the over city.
I guess that can explain why it is there's warning labels on things that say, like, if it's electrical, don't take a bath with it. And I guess that's why there's warning labels on everything, because apparently this problem that humanity's got has been a long-term event, and companies want to ensure that they cover their back, so they say, well, we told you not to use your hair dryer in the shower, and you got electrocuted. That's your fault. Back in the day when you were younger and I was younger, common sense said don't do it, you know? Don't stick your finger in the fan. Every once in a while, Grandpa would have to remind you, don't stick your finger in the fan. How many people do you think finally stuck their finger in the fan before they decided to put a warning label on the fan or a screen on there so you couldn't stick your finger in the fan?
You know, the problem with that is most of the time it's little kids that can't read. But Grandpa tells them don't do it. And like any little kid, if an adult tells them not to do something, they're going to do it just to find out why they shouldn't.
Yeah, I can see that.
I stuck my fingers in the fan several times when I was a kid. I cried every time, too. I was a slow learner.
How many times do you estimate you did that?
Maybe about 4 or 5 times.
Wow.
Well,
in
my defense, my mad science career started off with me sticking a large pair of tweezers in a light socket.
I finally figured it out. If you stick your fingers in the fan from the front side, you're safe. And then I could stop the blades and then watch them start again. But when I first did, I was at the back of the fan. And I messed my fingers up the first and second time.
Man.
Now, I did that when I was a kid. What you said, put my fingers in the front side of the fan where the air was exiting. And just put a little pressure, a little more, until you finally stop the fan and then turn it loose.
Hold on, I gotta change my story there. It wasn't a light socket; it was a outlet on the wall because you know those two prongs.
One for each side, and you're holding the middle.
It looked like the tweezers would fit, and I wondered what would happen if I did that, and so I shoved that sucker in there. I found out real quick, and actually, it separated the tweezers. It did burn.
How about this? I bet you for 3 days you didn't have to turn a light on at night, did you?
No, my mom come in there and lit me up. How many times I gotta tell you don't be sticking stuff in the outlets? I had to see what it's gonna do, man. It's all in the name of science.
I had a friend, his name was Jeff Newcomb, and I mean, you know, the names usually fit the babies too. Jeff, he had that Rod Stewart type hair, you know, and a messed up lip, top and bottom lip. And one day I asked him, I said, what happened to your lip? And he laughed. He said, when I was a kid, I was crawling around behind the TV and I was chewing on everything. I wound up chewing on the TV cord.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the whole cord went up and he just had to pull some of the cord off his lip. It made him look kind of tough and cool, but rather distinguished. But, you know, I wouldn't want those lips.
All right, so that was before Ritalin and Prozac and Luvox, right?
Yeah.
So back in the day, you know, when you did stupid, you just paid the consequences. Nowadays, if you go to school and you hadn't had no proper training at home as far as how to behave, then you get a little rowdy, then they make sure that you end up having to be on some sort of medication or something, you know. They call you a hyperactive or whatever. So I'm thinking society has seriously changed. Everybody's getting medicated. They're getting... You remember back in the day when I told you not to eat paint chips?
Yeah.
Back in the day, they used to have like lead-based paint, you know?
Right, and it would peel off on the windowsills. Kids would just peel it off, look at it, stick it in their mouth.
Yeah.
I remember one kid, when I was a kid, I heard that a kid in the high school, and he was taking some psychological drugs and everything to keep him calm and stuff like that. And he had a problem with his girlfriend, so there was a gallon of mercury in the science lab.
Oh, God.
He drank a gallon of mercury and then jumped out a window. And when he hit the ground, I guess the mercury didn't really kill him as far as toxicity, but it did. His stomach did explode. Mercury was all over the place mixed with blood.
Dang. That's horrifying, yeah. Man. That'd make a Stephen King drugs. Movie.
Them psychological drugs ain't worth a darn, man.
I've heard terrifying stories of people drinking bleach, but never mercury. Holy smokes.
Oh, I knew people that drank bleach to pass drug tests.
Dang.
Just a cat bowl or two, you know?
So, like, I guess I'm asking the question again. Are humans insane? Is it because of the food or the paint chips or
I've drank chloroxidine bleach before with no ill effects. In fact, with my first RV, had a 30-gallon fresh water tank on it. And in the handbook, it said always put 1 tablespoon of Clorox bleach in the water when you fill it up, so if there's any bacteria in there, it kills it. 1 tablespoon of Clorox bleach in 30 gallons of water will not kill you.
Well, yeah, we're talking about when you get to, you know, excess.
We're talking
about 8 ounce glass of it and drink it straight down?
Yeah. I just don't know who would do that, man. You know?
Well, you know, it's called moderation. I mean, arsenic will kill you. A very small amount will, but they put it in heart medicine. And I take heart medicine every day, and I ain't did.
Strawberries have strychnine in them.
I didn't know that. I like strawberry shakes.
Strychnine or arsenic, one?
All fruit seeds contain arsenic, but and an insufficient amount to kill you, except they also contain natural vitamin B17, which neutralizes the arsenic to the human digestive system, but it does not neutralize the arsenic on cancer cells.
So, and it is still an aphrodisiac.
So I got to ask you a question. Am I safe to drink my strawberry shakes or not?
Lord, yes. Just don't overdo it.
Make sure you wear some.
And when you eat an apple, eat the seeds, the core, and all. The only thing you don't eat on an apple is the stem.
Man.
Oranges, don't spit the seeds out. Swallow them. Watermelon, same way.
Did we lose Thomas?
I bet you I have not spit out 5 fruit seeds in my whole life since the time I was 13.
Thomas, you still in there? Your microphone working? Breaker 19 for radio check.
I've got my radio.
Alright, well, anyway, we got to find some common sense in this world or something, man, because it's getting to the point where you can't do anything, because everything's regulated, everything is illegal. It's just crazy, man. It's just beyond crazy. Look, people die of lead poisoning one way or another in this world. What'd you say, Muddy?
In Florida, it's illegal to whistle underwater.
How could you do that anyway?
I don't know.
And why would it be illegal?
I was successful at whistling underwater with the 2 fingers in your mouth, that type of whistle.
Yeah.
And yet, blow it all out at once. Now that does work, and it does go, you know.
Did you do it in Florida?
But it was really loud on my ears, and I think that's the main deal. No, it was here.
Okay, then you're not a criminal. Because I don't know if we can hang around with criminals that whistle underwater.
Well, yeah, I guess I am. I mean, because here we go. We got solar. They say, oh, yeah, get solar and get your discount off your taxes and all that stuff. And now you got to pay to have all that stuff. And then they say, no, we own the wind. So,
wow. I just went further down in that video. Check this out. Back on the blue ice. Danger of ground impact. There were at least 27 documented incidents of blue ice impacts in the United States between 1979 and 2003. These incidents typically happen under airport landing paths as the mass warms sufficiently to detach from the plane during its descent. A rare incident of falling blue ice causing damage to the roof of a home was reported on October 20th, 2016, in Chino, California. A similar incident was reported in Leicester, UK, in 2007. In 1971, a chunk of ice from an aircraft tore a large hole in the roof of the Essex Street Chapel in Kensington, London, and was one trigger for the demolition of the building. So apparently, maybe that lady's, that story of the lady getting her big old hole in the ceiling and actually landed, smashed the toilet. So maybe that's his true story.
Went from one toilet to another.
Yeah. It's irony for you.
What about that one?
That last smart bomb, he could have hit the right toilet. I mean, hit the right target, right?
Yeah. Huh. What if the military took that advice? Stephen posted in there, in the spirit of Charles Darwin, Darwin Awards, comrade, how do you pronounce that? C-O-M-M-E-M-O-R-A-T.
Commemorative.
All right, individuals who protect our gene pool by making the ultimate sacrifice of their own lives. Darwin awarded winners eliminate themselves in the extraordinary, idiotic manner, thereby improving our species' chance for long-term survival. So basically what he's saying, Darwin told the stupid people to go out there and, you know, do themselves in.
There was a guy in jail.
Commemorate, that's the word.
Yeah, actually.
It's commemorate. Darwin Awards commemorate.
There was a guy in jail that he was suicidal, and they didn't think nothing of letting him have a broom, and the handle broke, and he says, I guess I need a piece of PVC to put over the top of this so he could have his broom. And he had a deck of cards, and he shaved the deck of cards into a powder. Put it down flat on, put it inside the PVC, took the broom handle, and slammed it down and ignited the playing card dust, and it wound up exploding and shooting the broomstick right through his head.
Dang.
So, it depends on how smart you are as to what's dangerous.
Look, I'm saying a fair bit of caution is good, alright? Caution, common sense, looking at the a situation and understanding, you know, with the mechanics of what could go wrong. Like, for instance, there's videos of people actually going out there stepping on rakes, and the rake will pop up and slap you in the face. Well, anybody with a mechanical sense of mind, first off, would know stomping on a rake ain't a really good idea anyway. And most generally, if somebody leaves a rake in the yard and somebody accidentally steps on it, and the handle comes up and slaps them in the face. So
I got so mad one day, man. I had a friend help me rake leaves, and he wanted that steel rake, and he kept leaving it leaning against something. Every time, when you step on a rake, it is aimed at your face. Yep. Every time. When it bloodied my nose, I bloodied his. I kept telling him, don't leave the rip like that. Or he laid, it was laying on the ground one time and I wound up stepping on the thing and it busted me right in the nose.
Well, according to the laws of physics, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. For if you stomp on a rake, that much force is going to come up and hit you in the face.
Well, as far as danger on the plane there, I tell you what, one baggie with flour in it and a firecracker can blow a house apart.
Why?
Wore that t-shirt, fit like a glove.
Huh. All right, so essentially you don't want to get on a doggone airplane. The world's lost their mind. You need to use common sense, keep your eyes peeled for stupid people. They might be in the neighborhood. You never know what stupid people are going to do, man. Seriously. That's why when you go driving out and you're out there driving, you could be the best driver in the world. You get one stupid person on the road with you, and you need to look out. I had a lady take my mirror completely off the side of my car because she was driving down the road and she dropped her crackers in the floor and bent over to pick the crackers up off the passenger floorboard and in the process swerved into my lane, which I kind of swerved out of the way, and she sheared my mirror completely off.
Yeah, stupid woman driver made you spill your coffee in your lap and drop your donut into your coffee.
Yep.
And you dropped your razor, stupid woman driver.
Yeah.
You know, a few weeks ago when I thought I was basically pretty much on top of the financial situation for a change and we were going forward, the wife left the donut on the car for like 3 days instead of changing it over. She's going down the road and it was due, you know, so she had to use the windshield wiper. She's going down the road, dropped her cigarette lighter, reached down on the passenger side to get the lighter, and she went off the road on the right side, so she jerked the wheel to the left, she went spinning across the, back onto the highway and across it, down an embankment, and about another 15 feet before she went underneath the barbed wire fence, and from there she kind of curved right, went over a rock ditch and bumped into a tree, and from there she lost control.
Well, it sounded like she lost control from start to finish.
Yeah, there was grass in the beat of the tires and all that. The bumper came off. The left directional light came out completely, and that was like maybe like 20 feet behind her. And I was picking up pieces of the car. I got it back on the road in the same day, and it only messed up one A-frame bushing. So, and,
all right.
I mean, just the alignment, everything was straight. But yeah, I tell you what, man, get the A-frame bushing and going through that. And yeah, that was a real mess up in the day. I couldn't bow. I was busy working on a car, so I wouldn't have to drive her around in my mosquito bogger and not be able to mow her lawn for another day. So.
All right, so let's sum this up. There are very, very brilliant people running our government. All right, they are the brightest candles in the box, and they set the rules of bug spray on airplanes in order to ensure that bed bugs and other bugs don't make it from one place to the next. Invasive species. I would actually hesitate to say that maybe, possibly, humans could be the invasive species, so maybe I'd make everybody just stay at home where it's safe. You know, or wear a skin suit to the doggone airport so that you can speed the line up.
And a gas mask.
And a gas mask. A skin suit, gas mask. So I'm going to have to get one of them Santa Claus skin suits. I'm going to have to get a gas mask, one of the Israeli versions, because they look, you know, a lot of the people that go to those... oh, wow, I can't remember what they call it. The industrial music things. You know what I'm talking about? Thomas,
yeah.
Are you still there? Nah, he ain't there. Anyway, those gas masks, they use those as a prop or something for a toxic world or whatever. So, Santa Claus skin suit, Israeli gas mask, and a paid ticket, I'll ride the airplane. What do you think?
I don't know.
I think I'd better off just stay home, man. I would get a YouTube video and it'd go viral, but it wouldn't be under my channel.
Yeah, I don't want to change the subject and go right back to it, but there's something I gotta let you know.
Yeah.
This microphone that I'm talking on is actually a 4-inch speaker.
Huh.
I've been telling people before that you can use a speaker as a microphone. It just sounds a little bassy.
Yeah.
But it cuts out all that background noise. And if you don't have a microphone, if you got a speaker, you can plug it in as long as it's not one of those amplified speakers.
I see.
So, you've had your demonstration, and that takes it from myth to reality.
Somebody check out that video Stephen Gibbons put in there. I can't play it because I don't know what's on there. It's got one of those guys from, looks like the Simpsons show or something like that. Like, looks like Sideshow Bob with the hair.
Shazaz, do you hear my industrial air conditioner?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I don't.
Anyway.
Scott was talking about a minute ago. I tried something. I took one of these paper towels and put it on my mic and see if it slowed it down a little bit, but it didn't.
All right, so let's try to sum this thing up, man. When I saw the video of them spraying bug spray on the passengers in the deal and people like covering their faces up, because you don't know what's in the doggone can. It's hard telling what they're spraying you down with. What they used to call it back in the day, DDTs or something like that from pesticides?
DDT. They used to dust people down for lice control.
Yeah. So maybe that's what they're using, something like that. But from what I understand, that's not really safe for, human consumption. But either way, you're in a closed-in cabin, and they're spraying this crud in. What about the poor guy with asthma or allergic reactions or something like that, you know?
Hey, could I make a public announcement?
Yeah.
Okay. Folks out there, before you put your kids on all kinds of drugs for weird stuff, take them down and give them a blood test for lead poisoning. Lead poisoning is by far more predominant than people think in this country today, because everybody thinks about lead in paint. No, there's lead in other things. And some of the symptoms of lead poisoning is identical to those symptoms while they're giving your kids Ritalin and this, that drug and that drug and everything else. So before you put your kid on drugs, have them tested for lead poisoning, or even have them tested for heavy metal poisoning, because the symptoms are very, very similar to other things that they're giving you the drugs for. Okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
And a lot of times the doctors won't run certain tests unless they're specifically requested.
lead poisoning is one of those.
Yep.
They do not check for lead poisoning unless you specifically ask for it.
So basically, there's a lot of misdiagnosis that goes on out there because, there are certain things that mimic other diseases or whatever that, will show up, but they misdiagnose it because they didn't run certain tests to see for sure that it was.
I would be willing to bet money that over 30% of the kids that are on some kind of drug for some reason or another are suffering from some kind of heavy metal poisoning, which, if detected early, can be taken care of. However, with lead poisoning, it's like glaucoma. Any damage that is done cannot be reversed. So
yep.
It's best to have kids tested for lead poisoning, every year or two. And yourself.
Also, I would suggest that at least a percentage of them are not behavioral disorders because of chemical imbalances, behavioral disorders because of lack of parenting skills.
That too, but here's the thing. A lot of people don't realize what lead is actually in. There are lipsticks and hair color that women use daily that contain lead.
Yeah, there's
even food products that have lead in it.
There was a big thing about toys coming from China that had lead in the manufacturing portion of it.
You would be absolutely astounded at how many toys and games come from other countries that don't have the restrictions that we do, or the inspectors, that are loaded with lead.
So that kind of explains why people are in the shape that they're in, between chlorine and fluoride and lead and mercury and all the chemistry, and riding the plane getting bug sprayed and who knows what else, you know. We got some really brilliant individuals running these nations, man.
You know, one of the symptoms, several of the symptoms of lead poisoning and heavy metal poisoning is tingling in the feet and toes and the fingers, and loss of short memory, dementia. All these things are caused by heavy metal poisoning, and people, like I said, they don't test for heavy metal poisoning unless you specifically ask for it.
Well, here's a deal called, Stephen Gibbons posted a link in the chat room, aerotoxic syndrome. It's a Wikipedia article. Aerotoxic syndrome is a phrase coined by Chris Winder and Gene Christoph, whatever, in 2000 to describe their claims of short and long-term ill health effects caused by breathing airliner cabin air, which was alleged to have been contaminated by toxic levels exceeding known parts per million safe levels with atomized engine oils or other chemicals. Repeated investigations of such claims have failed to document cabin air has ever contained any contaminants which exceed known safe levels. An assessment by the UK's House of Lords Science Technology Committee found that claims of health effects were unsubstantiated. An update in 2008 found no significant new evidence. As of 2013, the syndrome is not recognized. But they're spraying bugs, spraying your face, man. Come on. Tell me that ain't gonna get you. All right.
If you're low on potassium, the doctor might prescribe you a potassium supplement that you have to get by prescription, and it's potassium chloride.
Well, I don't know enough about chemistry, and Tom's not on here, so I can't ask him. Anyway,
I don't want no chlorine in me. I don't need that.
They used asbestos till they figured out years later that asbestos wasn't good to use. They used a lot of chemistry before they found out it wasn't good to use. There was different sugar additives such as saccharin or aspartame that they used until they found out it wasn't safe to use. And from what I understand, that some people turn around and renamed aspartame when the patent ran out and called it something else, so actually supposedly it's still out there in the deal. Well, for the Food and Drug Administration, who's supposedly out there to protect the population from bad products, things that are potential health, then you would think that there would be certain restrictions that would make it so hard for them to put things like that haven't been tested to the satisfaction to know for sure that it's not going to poison somebody. You know, maybe I don't know enough about behind the scenes how much testing actually goes on. But once you have your first claim that it is something wrong with it, then there should be some independent investigations to verify for a fact this is causing cancer in lab rats. You might not want to put it in the sugar that you're putting in the kids' candy. You see what I mean? And aspartame, boy, that stuff is bad. You know, that stuff builds up in your system. And my mom actually went, she used to drink giant soda that had aspartame in it. She went to the doggone hospital with heart attack-like symptoms that had pertained to using aspartame. So, I know that's a fact. But, all the rest of stuff, people suck down, all kinds of synthetic sweeteners all the time in sodas, drinking by the, gallon most generally. How many times you see somebody drink a soda all day long? Can't be good for you. So
he drinks Diet Coke. all day long.
Has is it got aspartame in it?
That I don't know, but I will ask him.
Yeah.
About
you.
That's that thing good for you, Matthew, anyway. The carbonation is sugar. If you go to the store and you want to know what's taxable and what's not taxable, chocolate milk is taxable. Regular milk is not, because the chocolate milk has sugar in it. Or any prepared foods. If it's a food that's not prepared, like a banana or stuff, it's not taxable. So it's got to be prepared food, or it has to be an item that is not food, or it has to have sugar in it. You buy that Diet Coke, it's taxable because of the carbonation. And the carbonation, they got more carbonation in it to kind of make up for, you know, for the taste and stuff. And what it winds up doing is just giving you just as much sugar. Diet Coke does not work.
Man. Well, seems like we're living in a toxic world after all, man. You know? You can't go to the doggone grocery store in the snack food section. Somebody said something about the only things that would be left after a nuclear war was roaches and Twinkies.
And fruitcakes.
And fruitcakes. Fruitcakes will survive the apocalypse. Fruitcakes will probably be the cause of the apocalypse.
Now, it's all that natural sugar and honey and everything in there.
Don't say that. Fruitcake is my favorite cake in the whole world.
Man, I'm sorry, Raymond. I don't know what happened to you in your life to send you down that path to that.
I love fruitcake. I'm sorry, I'm with Raymond.
You guys both are from Texas. Maybe Texas has a better recipe than anywhere else, I don't know, but man, in my family, you only give fruitcake to somebody you don't like. Matter of fact, we had one fruitcake that was passed around for 7 years until my Uncle Roy decided he was going to eat it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
In my family, you only gave fruitcake to people you love.
Man, that's why they say don't mess with Texas, because if you guys can stomach fruitcake, you guys are some bad, bad, tough guys.
All you gotta do is go by all them friends that seem to be jerks and stuff like that after Christmas and say, hey, you want that fruitcake?
Yeah. Well, maybe we could get some sort of deal worked out. Like during Christmas time, I'll go around and get my biohazard gear on, and I'll go over there with the tongs and pick up the fruitcake from all my family members who made somebody mad. I'll put them in one of them biohazard packages and ship it over to you guys.
Heck yeah. In fact, my mouth is starting to water so bad I'm having a hard time talking. y'all got my taste buds going crazy here. When this show's over, I'm heading straight to Walmart getting me a fruitcake.
Man.
And
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ray.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
Yeah, the thing about a fruitcake, man, if you find one after some kind of an apocalypse or something, say it's in a metal building or whatever, you know, it didn't get radiation. You can't do nothing. But basically, as far as food value, that's 7 days.
Man.
One of those regular small loaves of fruitcake can last you 7 days and give you good energy.
Well, I know that in my neighborhood, they used to use cinder blocks till they found out fruitcakes hold up better to take the wheels off your car. Oh man, this has kind of been a fun show, man.
You can use my sister's biscuits as something to knock somebody out with.
Man,
hey, I don't know about what y'all's fruitcakes, but I take a fruitcake, open it up, cut a slice off of it, wrap it up in tin foil, put it on the top shelf in the closet. Shoot, 6 months later, it was still good.
Yeah, it's got natural preservatives, honey and sugar, basically.
Well,
yep.
I heard the mob used to tie paper or tie a note around it and throw it through the front window of somebody's house like a brick.
You're sick.
I don't care. I like fruitcake as long as they can't charge it an extra seat on the bus.
Anybody that throws a scoop of fruitcake away is sick. They're demented.
Well, not from where I come from. You eat the fruitcake, then you get sick. I don't know what the deal is, man. That stuff tastes...
Sacrilege.
That still tastes terrible.
You got to be serious. Are you joking?
I'm serious. I'm dead serious. If you take an orange and a lemon and all the different fruits, like a lime or whatever, and you grind up the peeling and everything and bake it into some dried old cake or something like that and put a pound of sugar in there, you could call that a fruit cake, man. And that's what it tastes like.
Man, are you serious?
Yeah.
My grandma used to make orange peel and lemon peel preserves, and they were delicious.
Yuck.
They sell this stuff at Walmart, but it doesn't taste near like my grandmother made. My grandmother made the best lemon peel preserves in the world, Bubba. Woo-wee!
Can you take
And lemon peels and orange peels are natural preservatives.
Can you take it on the airplane?
Long as it isn't hard.
And then even if you did take it on the airplane, I know it's wrapped up, but then when they spray that bug spray, you're going to have to wash it off when you get to the other side before you unwrap it. That's another thing, man. The containers that stuff's in, you never know where it was sitting. You never know who was bug bombing their factories or whatever. Just common sense, man. That's it. Common sense. We're gonna have
when you go to your wedding, and then they have the wedding cake, and you're supposed to save a slice or two and stick it in the freezer and eat it the next year. Don't do it. Don't do it. It ain't like fruit cake. It gets nasty. That's all I gotta say.
Well, I'm googling common sense to see what Google says about.
Better have all your teeth.
I'm googling common sense to see what Google has to say about common sense. Because you know Google, they got all the answers on Google. Google
says,
the internet has got to be true, right?
Yeah, that's it. You can always trust your government. You can always trust the media. You can always trust Wikipedia. You can always trust everything you hear, man. As long as it came on the internet, it's true. Now, I just want the doggone definition of common sense. All right, here's a Wikipedia common sense article. Let me see.
Don't pet the dog.
Common sense not to be confused with common knowledge. Okay, so let's see what it say. Common sense is basic ability to perceive, understand, judge things, which is shared by common to nearly all people and can reasonably be expected if nearly all people without any need for debate. Does anybody understand what I just read?
Yeah, like tie your shoes.
Yeah, so you don't step on them. The everyday understanding of common sense is derived from the philosophical discussion involving several European languages. Related terms in other languages include Latin sensus communis, Greek, I can't even pronounce that one, I'm not even going to try, or French, bon sens. Good sense.
So common sense can go all the way to like two guys go out hunting. And they walk up on this brown pile of mushy-looking stuff, and steam rolling off of it. One guy says, well, it looks like it. The other guy puts his finger in it, puts it up to his nose, and says, well, it smells like it. Well, there's three of them, actually. The third guy, he puts some on his finger, touches it to his tongue, says, it tastes like a man come on that. Glad we didn't step in it.
My God. That's just... Number one, I ain't touching it. I don't even have to go any further because I sure ain't putting it in my mouth. God.
You know, that reminds me of a story that has almost nothing to do with what we're talking about. But my grandfather, first time he ever went into town and saw an ice cream parlor, he went in and got a scoop of ice cream on one of those little sugar cones, right? Well, he sat there in the store and ate all that ice cream and licked it all out of that cup and handed the cup back to the lady and said, here, lady, here's your cup back. The lady didn't know you could eat the cup.
Huh. Alright, so we know that...
So I guess our common sense would have some bearing with common knowledge. I mean, he just didn't know.
Yep.
Yeah, the definition of common sense. Guy walks into ice cream parlor, he says, I want a scoop of vanilla, I want a scoop of strawberry, and I want a scoop of chocolate. He says, I'm sorry, we don't have any strawberry. Okay, then give me a scoop of chocolate and a scoop of strawberry. Guy says, I don't have any stinking strawberry. He says, okay, well, I'll take a scoop of vanilla and strawberry. He says, look, can you spell a van and vanilla? He says, yeah, V-A-N. Can you spell a chalk and chocolate? He said, yeah, C-H-O-C. He said, can you spell a stink and strawberry? He said, there ain't no stink and strawberry. He said, that's what I've been trying to tell you.
I love it.
Yeah, that was good. All right, so somebody needs to teach the government common sense, or maybe the government is actually smarter than the people, man. Maybe they just got everything figured out. Because if your average Joe is doing the things that they do, you know, playing Pokemon Go and walking off into the bay or hitting face first into a stop sign or wrecking their cars and texting and driving, grabbing their crackers off the floor while they're flying down the freeway and so on and so forth, then maybe, you know, the government is a necessary evil to keep everybody safe and alive, you know? I kind of sound like an advocate for the government now.
Shazam, what do you call 50 politicians wearing concrete galoshes at the bottom of Hudson Bay? What do you call that?
Pollution?
No, a really good start.
Well, I don't advocate violence, man. I don't like want to trench these guys or anything like that, but I do like to think that, you know, you got some sort of... You know, I'm always talking about how you got rights. Your body has rights. You know, women's rights as far as their bodies or whatever, and different laws that, you know, like the abortion deal that I don't want to get into. But either way, you know, your rights. Your personal... You're not supposed to be invaded personally. You're not supposed to be molested or illegally searched or anything like that. But somehow or another... Under the guise of safety, the laws have gotten so incredibly invasive, and people have gotten so incredibly passive that they allow stuff like that to be going on. See, now, if I was on an airplane and somebody sprayed some crud in the air that I didn't know what it was, I'd ask questions. I would want to see the label on the deal to see what it was I just inhaled. And if it was something that I didn't agree with, I'd want to, have some sort of remedy for it. You see what I mean? Some sort of, you know, sounds so happy, but maybe that's the case. You know, what the heck? If you're not supposed to be invaded, you're not supposed to be groped, you know, or molested or violated, the governments and their long arm of the law officials out there, you get violated all the time. If you get pulled over in certain circumstances, they'll pull you out the car, they'll handcuff you just so they can find out who you are and what you are. So you just got locked up and detained, and you're probably an innocent party. You didn't have nothing to do with a certain situation that was going on, but for everybody's safety and officer safety, They're gonna frisk you down and they're going to handcuff you. That's the way it works, man. So you're going on the airplane, you're going to get x-rayed. Now, you're only supposed to have so many be exposed to so many x-rays a year according to science and health. But yet, if you're a frequent flyer, you might be glowing in the dark by now. DNA all jacked up or whatever. You see what I mean? And it gets ridiculous. It just continues to go on, and apparently this practice has been going on at least 4 years, because that last one video that I posted over there is 4 years old, and I didn't know about it till just this morning. I just ran across it by accident, and like, man, Hey, I've not flown forever, but I can remember that when I did fly, the worst case scenario was, you know, you get wanded down or you walk through a metal detector. If something buzzes, you know, then you got to empty your pockets out. You know, it wasn't like they take you in the back room and strip search you and all that. Body cavity searches or whatever, you know, wasn't like that. But now everybody lives in a world that is not only becoming super toxic, it's becoming super invasive as far as your personal freedoms and stuff. But then if you mention it, doggone it, you're just a troublemaker, a possible terrorist, one of the radicals. Is there something wrong with this picture? Or is it just me? Am I the only one bothered by all that?
You're not the only one. But you know, really and truly, to me, it doesn't bother me that much because I'm thinking that, you know, there just might be somebody on there that's a terrorist. You know, I don't know. I don't know who's on that airplane. So,
well,
don't search me, fine, but don't search me and not everybody else.
Where'd that seed of doubt come from? Where did that idea come from that there could possibly be a terrorist? You know, people used to drive down the road if they see somebody hitchhiking. There was this symbol. You know, you put your thumb out like you're going this way, you know, and somebody would stop and they'd pick you up and give you a ride. Nowadays, you see a hitchhiker, you mash on the gas and don't even look back and keep flying, man.
Oh, they don't want to even let them on the highway. They got to hitchhike from the exits now.
Yeah. Don't want to give a homeless man no money because he might go buy some drugs, you know.
You can't even walk on the highway or ride your bicycle on the side.
Hey, that reminds me. There was about four or five of us in the truck one time. You know, I've got a two-seater truck. And we're coming up to a stop sign. And there's a guy standing on the side of the road. For real. It's no joke. Holding the sign. Said, not homeless, just need a beer. Broke.
Huh.
We went it down and threw him out two beers. We had a 12-pack in the car in the truck.
Well, there you go, man. It's just... people gotta loosen up, man. This world is just getting out of hand. You got sanitizing equipment everywhere because everybody's germophobic now. You know, I made a mistake a long time ago in telling my son about bacteria. But apparently my explanation of bacteria was so extreme that my son became germophobic. Because I didn't explain it to him. It took me a while down the road until he got older to finally get it through his head. Son, not everything's a germ. And not everything's a bad germ. You know?
Yeah, you got to have certain bacteria to actually digest your food. You
yep.
Take too much antibiotics and you kill those and you can't understand why you got the Hershey squirts for days.
Huh.
So you eat this doggone live cultured yogurt, blue cheese, buttermilk. And there was one other one I'm not thinking of right now. But that'll put it all back into you. Or you can take them proactive vitamin supplements.
You know, you're right. There are some bad germs and bacteria out there. But for every bad germ or bacteria, there's at least 25 good ones.
Yeah. Well, there's balance out there.
There's germs that live on your eyelids and bugs that live on your eyelids. And without those, you'll go blind.
Well...
you know, the thing is, I think I mentioned this before, we talk about terrorists a lot and bad people, but just like germs, the good people outnumber the bad people 1,000 to 1.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, when it comes to destruction, one bad guy can destroy a lot of good people.
As far as what Muddy was talking about, I don't want to think about bugs on my face, but... you know, it's kind of like you get a psychological itch, man. If somebody starts talking about cooties or bed bugs or crabs or fleas or whatever, you know, you get a psychological itch. You don't even have to have nothing on. You just thinking about it makes you itch, you know. But
yeah, I've been there, done that, wore that t-shirt.
So if you want to sell, and here's a good marketing campaign for the corporations out there. If you want to sell mosquito repellent or poison ivy creams of any kind, calamine lotion or whatever, just put somebody on TV and have them sitting there scratching for 30 seconds like they itch, you know, like they got the plague or something like that. And you'll have people on the other side scratching as well. It's kind of like that yawn effect, you know, when you yawn and everybody else around you yawns as well. You could sell a lot of itch cream if you had a commercial like that. And so when the mainstream media isn't out there telling everybody that, you know, you got to look out because these guys are shooting those guys and there's bad guys everywhere and everybody's getting raped and murdered and killed all the time, and then you decide you're going to go out and buy a gun, but wait a second, guns are the problem, so you can't go out and buy a gun, or you got to go get a permit to buy one. So, yeah, they already made you fearful of your life because they done told you that the world was going to heck in the handbasket and that it wasn't safe to go outside your door. So you go out and buy all kinds of security systems and locks and you bunker in for the long haul. And in reality, not very many people are actually getting shot in your neighborhood, or, you know, the odds of you ever getting shot may be a little bit better than winning the lottery, but, you know, it's not like you're living in the middle of a war zone unless you really are living in the middle of a war zone, and then those products would be good for you. You see what I mean?
Yeah, like living in Chicago, right?
Yeah, if you live in Chicago, lock it down. You know.
All I ought to do is like that movie, just build a big 30-foot brick wall all the way around Chicago and turn it into a prison.
Yeah, well, essentially while these folks are worried about going to FEMA camps, they're building their own home prisons, their own home cage where, you know, you stay, as long as you stay inside this boundary, then you're safe and you don't want to venture out into the world unless you're armed like Rambo. And that, how's that any way to live, man?
I think you were talking about Escape from New York.
Yep, that was the name of the movie.
Yep.
Yep, that's...
I think Chicago has more death shootings than New York City, I believe.
Well, either way, when it's kind of like it's always... That's what all you hear when you turn on the mainstream news. There's a war going on. Somebody's bombing somebody. Somebody's chopping somebody's head off. Somebody's doing something terrible. Elect this politician and he'll be tough on crime or build a wall or whatever. You know, it's like psychologically manipulating an entire population into being fearful and... going out and spending a lot of money on doomsday prepper stuff.
Hey, what is that old saying? The only way evil can prevail is for good men to stand by and do nothing.
Yeah. Well, I think we're kind of doing something by trying to put common sense out there on the table. You know, you plant that seed of common sense and maybe somebody will recognize before, you know, you go up to... You know, if you're in an area where you can burn your trash instead of throwing a gallon of gas on the doggone thing and walking up there throwing a match on it, you might want to think about the effects that's going to occur. So you don't do that. You see what I mean?
Your silence is their consent.
Yeah. Essentially what's going on, and nobody's complaining on the plane except for minor few, and the minor few are either being hauled off by the security when they get to the other side, because you can't question the man. You know your place and shut your face. That's their model. And I'm thinking, you know, if they're going to be spraying stuff, number one, I have the right to know what they're spraying. As a matter of fact, they're supposedly working for me to keep me safe, right? And they're also working for everybody else trying to keep them safe. So if the guy sitting next to me is not safe, then maybe I'm not safe. And maybe it's none of my business where he's safe or not, and it's not my job to keep him safe. But, you know, because I'm a decent person, I care about everybody's safety. So, you know, do I consent to the bug spray for everybody's safety in case somebody's got the crabs or the fleas or the head lice or cootie bugs or bed bugs or whatever? In the process, sacrifice, you know, maybe a day off of my life from some sort of toxic material that just, you know, may or may not have gave me brain damage or a case of cancer or something. But just the mere fact we got to have this conversation means that, you know, there's a concern out there. Just even talking about potential cancer hazards. If these guys are out there looking out for your best interest, you shouldn't have to worry about it. You see what I mean?
Yep.
Once you know what's in your food, then you're more cautious about what you eat. You know what I mean?
Yep. You sending Thomas on the plane is our version of air travel safety.
Yeah.
We get to use Thomas as a guinea pig.
I think Thomas's microphone went dead or he got frustrated and left. Sorry, Thomas.
You might have kicked him off when you suggested he wear a bodysuit.
Well, we're just joking about the bodysuit. We're really not going to send him out in public like that. We're not into humiliating nobody. I mean, I wouldn't do nothing. I wouldn't ask nobody to do nothing I wouldn't be willing to do myself. So, you know, unless I'm going to put on one myself and go to the airport, I wouldn't have suggested it. But it did sound funny, you got to admit. Anyway. It's just, you know, you shouldn't have to have these conversations with people. You shouldn't have to worry about what your government's spraying in the air. And when they tell you they ain't spraying nothing and you still see things in the air and you question it because it doesn't look normal or natural, and then you investigate it and other people noticed it and other people did research on it, and then and it finally ends up coming out, you know, in form of alternative media, and then they rebut it at the doggone mainstream media, say, oh no, these are just conspiracy theory guys, you know, there's no weather modification, they don't do any chemtrails, you know, these guys are just crazy, you know, government wouldn't do that to you. And then whenever it finally comes to light years later that it's actual practice, when you look out there on the internet and you see there's actually companies out there that advertise geoengineering and actually tell you how they pretty much do it, you know, and then you take water samples and have your water samples tested, you find things in there that shouldn't necessarily be in there unless it's been coming down from the sky or something like that, or blowing in from the wind, then, you know, it ceases to be a conspiracy when birds start dropping from the sky. Plain and simple. When it's in your face, undeniable, then that's when it gets everybody's attention. So some of the guys out there that were called crackpots are now justified. You know, Agent Orange is recognized now, whereas before, oh, you're just crazy. You know, but they actually did spray stuff over there. They actually tried weather modifications over there in Vietnam. Did you know that, Raymond? You there?
Yeah, I had my mic muted. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I thought you got on the bus behind Tavis.
Yeah, they actually tried weather modifications in Vietnam.
Yeah, they wanted to make it so muddy over there, raining, so that the enemy couldn't get their tanks and jeeps and stuff around. They'd be stuck in the mud. You know? War is hell, folks. They don't do nice stuff in war. When they throw bombs out there, bombs are indiscriminate. They don't choose who they're going to get. It's not like everybody's got a bad guy label on there and it's a smart bomb that just only attacks the bad people. No, if you happen to be an unfortunate person, what they call collateral damage, in the wrong place at the wrong time, guess what? You're going down. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. And if they have a fear that there's some sort of plague going on or coming around, they might forcefully spray something without even telling you. You know, under the guise of public safety or whatever. It's not like this stuff doesn't occur. There's not secrecy in government for nothing. There's not classified information for nothing. They do certain things out there that they don't want the government or they don't want the population to know. You know, they don't want the population to know the name of all the spies, because people talk and they might tell somebody who tells somebody who's flying overseas to tell somebody such and such is a spy. Now, that's understandable. But as far as all the so-called black projects where they do things in, you know, secrecy to build weapons and test chemicals and stuff like that, like biohazard warfare bombs, you know, things that's going to, like, drop the plague on somebody, you know? Or back in the day when they talked about, you know, infecting blankets that they were giving to the Native Americans with smallpox. Who does that?
Biological war.
Yeah. And what happens if something goes awry and something gets out that shouldn't get out? I mean, it's not like it hasn't happened before. You're genetically modifying mosquitoes to do things that nature wasn't planning on these mosquitoes doing. Well, what's to stop that mosquito from doing something else? You know? And passing that trait on down to future generation mosquitoes, which eventually you got killer mosquitoes running around like something out of a Stephen King novel, you know, sucking your eyeballs out of your socket or something. Giant mosquitoes. I saw a movie like that once. I was like, dang, should have seen the stinger on those mosquitoes. Yeah, they'd jump on somebody's back and they'd suck them flat like a, you know, taking all the air out of a balloon. It was nasty. You know, or even going back to that stupid movie, The Blob. The Killer Blob, or the even stupider movie, The Attack of the Killer Tomato. I know it all sounds ridiculous, but man, if you're tampering with nature, then you gotta expect that things ain't gonna work out the way you planned. Nature has a good plan. You let nature do what nature does, and you got things going on. But the people in the government, we got some really brilliant individuals in the government. The Environmental Protection Agency are there to do what? Protect the environment. But yet, the Environmental Protection Agency is one that busted a hole in a mine which pumped a bunch of crud downstream for the people to, you know, it killing off the fish and all that kind of stuff. And their response was, oh, don't worry, just wait for it to float by and then you can drink the water again. Really? Not so sure how soon that water would be safe to drink until nature filters it back out again. But the hypocrisy of it, in government, talking about, you know, fighting a war on terror, fighting a war on drugs, fighting a war on this, seems like there's a war on everything, and everybody's all paranoid about everything under the sun, germ freaks, everywhere you go, antibacterial soap or hand sanitizers, you know, and people are so afraid. There's even communities out there that because, you know, like China or Japan, because of the air quality around them, or that people might be sick, they wear a paper mask over the face all day long. How'd you like to live like that? I think God planted on us breathing the air, you know, the oxygen, that's what it's for. We're supposed to be able to, you know, walk around and inhale and exhale and be fine, you know, enjoy life, that kind of stuff. But now you got to wear paper mask and soon gas mask because of all the pollution and the crud. When does this go from normal civilization to a road warrior style mentality / toxic, everything's toxic and you gotta not only boil your water but unradiate it and you know, filter it so that you can even drink it? It's crazy. And we live in this world. We all got to live in this world together. And yet we put people in charge that don't necessarily make very brilliant decisions. I won't ever fly on an airplane. Probably won't get on a train or a bus. If I can't get there by driving or riding with a friend, somebody in a private vehicle that doesn't have to be bug sprayed or groped or... Well, there's some individuals you probably wouldn't want to ride with. They'd probably try to grope you. But, seriously though, I don't want the displeasure of riding in public transit. Because, number one, people have lost their doggone minds. They either having a bad day and want to fight with you, or somebody wants to be a terrorist and, you know, hijack the transportation you're on. people passing sicknesses back and forth all the way through there. Sounds like there's more reasons to not ride public transit than there is to ride public transit, but wait a second. You got this nifty word out there called sustainability. Where now you need to get out of your car and ride public transit so that you too can be groped and sprayed with bug spray and so on. Sounds like a brilliant plan, doesn't it, guys? You got to give the doggone government credit, man. Because when they mess things up, they do a good job of it. Nobody can mess things up as well as the government. I mean, I see some pretty stupid people before that really made a mess out of things. But nothing on the scale of what government can do. But you can always trust them. You should have 100% faith in the government. You should believe all the mainstream medias and even the alternative media. You should take every single individual out there by their word. Listen to what you say. If they tell you Planet X is coming to get you, you better duck, dodge, dive, bunker in, climb under the ground, and bend over and kiss your booty goodbye. If there's a terrorist in your neighborhood, lock her down, bunker in. You know, lock and load. If you're driving down a road, it don't matter what neighborhood you're in, make sure you got your windows up, your door locked, your seatbelt on, and your kids ducked down in the back seat in case something stray comes through the window. I'm expecting y'all to stay alive, and so in order to stay alive, you need to be paranoid as all get out. You need to look in every direction. You need to look under your bed, look in the closet, look behind everything, and keep your eye out for the boogeyman. You need to flat out live in fear. Because that's the only way to be safe. That's what I learned from the mainstream media. That's what I learned from the government. Here at tonight's The Round Table, we think there's one tool that you could use that would be so beneficial that you wouldn't have to worry about all that extra stuff to remember. If you just remember to utilize common sense, jump on Wikipedia or jump out there in one of the other dictionary-style websites or go to the library and look up the word common sense. Learn common sense. Exercise common sense. Live life in love and enjoy it. But don't get on an airplane unless they agree not to spray you with bug spray. I ain't doing it, Raymond.
You are tripping, man.
I ain't getting on there. I ain't eating fruitcake either. Common sense dictates not to eat fruitcake. But
now wait a daggone minute. Taste buds are taste buds, and they're different with every person.
Alright, well, if you can stomach fruitcake, if you are willing to accept the risk, then you eat all the fruitcake to your heart's content.
You know, my brother will not eat anything that his skeleton is outside of its body.
Yeah?
It reminds him of a cockroach. And I told him, and I sent him pictures of me, king crab legs.
Yeah.
And he wrote me an email back, said, I almost threw up when I saw that picture of you eating that cockroach. And I wrote him back and I said, let me tell you something. If they could genetically engineer a cockroach to be as big as a king crab, and when he was cooked up, tasted as good, I wouldn't have a problem eating.
I would. Cockroaches are nasty.
Yes, they are, but once you cook them up, if they taste like king crab, I'd eat that guy up.
Well,
you eat crab legs?
Huh?
You eat crab legs?
No, I don't eat crab legs.
You eat oysters?
No, I don't eat oysters.
Shrimp?
No, I don't eat shrimp.
Why? Because the skeleton's on the outside?
No, I just don't like the taste of it.
Oh, there we go. I do, and I like fruitcake too. In fact, I love it. It's my favorite cake in the whole world.
Well, I don't know what to say, man. That ain't already been said. That's probably one of the craziest shows we've ever done. But,
I think you got that one right.
But, still, nonetheless, it's worthy of discussion, you know. If you don't know what's in your food, then you might want to not eat it. If you don't know what's being sprayed on you, then you might want to question it. You know, if you don't know, you know, that's the whole thing. Caution, man. Find out. Do your research. Find out whether or not it's safe. If you don't trust it, then don't take it. And if somebody's trying to force it on you, then you should have a right to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Remedy. I shouldn't be forced to have to take anything. I shouldn't be told not that I can't take anything. You know, there's a difference between stealing, you know, that's not the kind of taking I'm talking about. I'm talking about if I'm forced to be injected with some sort of vaccine that I know nothing about and haven't researched, it's my body, then I shouldn't be forced to have this vaccine. But if these knuckleheads would stop tampering around with nature, maybe they'd stop making diseases that are becoming immune to the vaccines. If you understand what I'm trying to say. You know, if they're coming right out and telling you they have the capabilities to genetically alter stuff, then you have to question, are they genetically altering stuff?
You know, you just said something a minute ago, remind me. You said something about if you get sick and your body builds an immunity to that germ, then you, most of the time you don't get that anymore. There are almost 200 different cold viruses, and you can only catch one time in your entire life. So if you caught a cold every year, or I'm sorry, 10 colds a year, every year for 20 years, you'd never catch another cold as long as you live.
So
you realize I'm 52 years old, I have not had a cold for over 15 years. I've not caught any flu virus or cold virus in over 15 years, and I do not take flu shots.
So I can understand precautionary measures. You know, I can understand, you know, that certain viruses could build immunities to, you know, things that are supposedly there to get the virus.
I'll tell you what, I've got a lot of friends that egg at me every year, wiping me because I don't take flu shots. And so help me, I am not kidding. 2 out of every 5 of my friends that get flu, that take flu shots, get the flu.
Yep.
2 out of 5.
And they say that. They say that, you know, that's a possibility. You know, doctors hate it. I'm telling you, they flat out hate it when they hand you a piece of paper to sign and you want to take the time to discuss it. You know, like, what does this mean right here? You know, this particular inoculation is made with human blood, so there's a potential that you could actually get this by using this vaccine. You see what I'm saying?
But I see exactly what you're saying. Well, and you're 100% correct. Doctor, don't like for you to read the fine print.
Yeah. And so if you want to sit there and you're one of the people that are concerned and you want to sit there and ask the doctor questions, serious questions about this and the safety of it, you know, I really want to know what my odds are before I allow something in my body. Well,
you know, over last year, over 150,000 people were killed by doctors, nurses, and hospitals because of mistakes they made. But yet they want to outlaw guns when it was only 47 people in the past 2 years that's ever been killed by assault weapons in the United States. Think about this. Why don't we outlaw doctors, hospitals, and nurses? Duh. How many hundreds of thousands of people died last year in automobile accidents? Is anybody talking about...
Well, let me make a point to your point. Assault weapon. Now, what does that actually mean? All right? Well, here's the deal. Every weapon is an assault weapon. It don't matter whether it's a knife, a slingshot, a ball bat, a hurley stick, a billy club, a piece of pipe, but every weapon out there is an assault weapon because when you use it, you're assaulting somebody with it.
Unless you talk about it.
No, I'm saying when you use it in a violent manner, when you use it against somebody, it is assault weapon. If you threaten to use it somebody, it's assault weapon. It's assault just by telling somebody you're going to assault them.
You know, I saw a picture on the internet this morning. There's this guy holding up a sign, and the sign says, "No mother should have to be in fear of her son's life every time he robs a store." I just thought I'd keep that in there.
Well, there was this shirt that said I-D-I-N-D-U-I-T. And I couldn't figure out what the heck this was all about. I tried to look up any engram on there, tried to figure out what in tarnation does that mean. It, basically, because of slang language in certain cultures, the way they say "I didn't do it," that's what that shirt said. "I didn't do it," you know. And so, that's what the shirt meant. I was like, man, what in the heck is wrong with this world? People can't even talk right. I get to the point where, heck, man, sometimes it's painful to talk. Sometimes it's painful to try to read. My brain is trying to keep up with everything that's going on out there in the world. I just now come across something that was going on 4 years ago, according to that video, and I posted the link to the video in the chat room at the shazizradio.com/superchat.html. But there comes a time whenever things are just so overwhelming and shocking, I can't talk to somebody who stutters really bad for very long because I find myself stuttering. My brain's skipping, trying to keep up with the communication going on there, if you understand what I'm trying to say here.
Yes, I do, and I tell you what, I've had friends in the past, years ago, that stuttered real bad. I wouldn't talk to them unless they put two marbles in their mouth.
Two marbles?
Yep.
How's that work?
And a man is, or a woman, anybody that stutters, you put two marbles in the mouth, and they instantly stop stuttering.
Is that like an old wives' tale, or does it really work?
It really works. That's why most people that stutter, when they sing, they don't stutter. Because in singing, they know what they're going to say next.
Uh-huh.
And people stutter, they try to talk faster than they can think. Well, if they just slow down and concentrate, and the model make them slow down and concentrate, they instantly, and it's almost 100%. Anybody that stutters, put two marbles in the mouth, they instantly stop stuttering.
Well, maybe I need some of them government-issued drugs, because my brain is like running past the speed of light 24/7, and sometimes I just need to slow down and mellow out, man. It's just...
Maybe you've got a little touch of lead poisoning or something.
Maybe. Wouldn't doubt it. We do live in a toxic world. You know, I said the same. You can't walk through a cesspool and come out the other side smelling like a rose.
Well, wait a minute. There's so much lead in the United States today, it's impossible to find somebody, anybody, that doesn't have some lead in their system. Maybe it's not enough to affect them, but they've got lead in their system. The thing is, like... people buy cheap toys from underdeveloped countries and give it to their infant children crawling around the floor with a child puts it in their mouth, and 90% of all the toys that come from underdeveloped countries contain lead, drastic, heavy amounts of lead.
Well, you talked about earlier something about adding insult to injury, so not only do you have the risk of lead poisoning or some sort of biological issue going on, or some sort of carrier of a bug, like a bed bug, or body lice, or head lice, or fleas, or ticks, or whatever. You know, West Nile virus, what's the new one? Ebola, or I don't remember what all the viruses are, mosquitoes.
Ebola.
Yeah. So you got all these fears health-wise you got to worry about. You got the terrorists you got to worry about. You got the boogeyman. You got the robber, the raper, the looter, the pillager, the rioter. You got the terrorists. We already said terrorists. The crazy right-wing extremists or the crazy left-wing liberal, you know, that you got to worry about. And on top of all that, you throw a few million stupid people in the mix and you have danger. At least the recipe for danger. Did that about sum it all up? Ain't that what the government said?
Just about.
Ain't that what the mainstream media and the alternative media keep preaching, how dangerous this world is?
Yep.
Ain't no wonder why people got to be on anxiety medicine or toking up the bong or hitting up some Quaaludes or doing, you know, whatever drug they can get their hands on. Because after being told all this stuff, everything's danger, then eventually somebody's going to crack. And if they're spraying crud in your face on the airplane that you don't have no control over, if they're forcing you to get vaccinated that you don't have no control over, then you ain't free. You're not living free. And how in the heck are you supposed to enjoy your life when you're laying down in the bunker with your head underneath the pillow because you're in fear of even going outside to take a fresh breath of air? I hope that all y'all maybe got my point by this crazy show today. There's a lot of laughs going on, but there's a lot of seriousness too. The seriousness is that this world is getting so doggone ridiculous, people are starting to drop out of society. One way or another, whether it's moving off into the third dimension or fourth dimension or whatever, fifth dimension, via some sort of hallucinogenic to stay and not have to live in this world, or to hibernate inside a hole somewhere in their house or the basement or whatever. When you can't just freely travel from one land to the next and know that you'll be secure in your own property and persons. When your own government has to have a military force looking police department to keep you safe on the streets, and you can't speak out because if you speak out, you're not only ostracized by the government, but you're ostracized by the media and the common average Joe who is indoctrinated by same said government entities and media entities. Folks, we got serious problems going on in this world. The only way that you're ever going to resolve these serious problems is to find some kind of common ground with common sense and start doing it. These people out there, they don't care about what you care about. They don't have the same values as you. They're only in it for the money, the power, or whatever other agenda they've got. They will say and do anything that they can to get into power so that they can get all the perks. And it's not just the rich people. It's the poor people. It's the middle class people. It's people hurting people all day long, every single day, all over this planet. Lack of common sense rules the day. Stupidity is running amok. And until people finally figure out what common sense is all about, until they finally decide that you don't want bug spray on you so you don't get on the airplane because you know they're going to be using bug spray, and by implied consent, as long as you bought that ticket, you said it was okay. If you see something out of ordinary, the government's always saying, if you see something, say something. Alright, well, when you see something and you say something about the government doing something that they shouldn't be doing, that you don't approve of, then you should have your remedy. It's in your constitution. It's afforded to you. You're supposed to have a remedy. And most nations have a remedy. If somebody steals from you, you can take them to court and get your thing resolved. Even in the back of the days of the kings and queens, if you had a problem, you could take it to the higher authority and you could get that problem resolved between two parties. Well, it's coming down to where you don't even have that anymore. So, is there a negative freedom? Where freedom used to exist, but now you're in the negative realm? I think so. I think that's where we stand right now. We're in the negative. We're working our way towards the total disappearing freedom from even the dictionary. Freedom won't even be listed. It won't even be taught in school anymore. How far down does society have to get before people finally realize you're being played like a banjo? Well, guys, we're kind of over our time, so you guys got any last words? Anybody?
Yeah, I'd like to reiterate what I said about an hour ago, that mothers that have children that are on drugs for this or that or another because of their weird actions, please take them down and get a blood test and have them tested for heavy metals. You might find out your kid doesn't really need those drugs because they don't. Testing for heavy metals in blood tests is not normal. You have to ask for it, okay?
Yep.
You could be just drugging your kid for no reason at all. It's possible.
Yep.
Very possible.
And it may just be a case of that kid needs a little extra attention and some love, you know? Maybe he's acting out because he's despising the world.
They sell a kit, and it's just like a cotton swab at Walmart. It's only like 9 or 10, 12 bucks. And you can just swab a toy and see if it's got lead in it or not. So mothers with infants, don't give your child toys from underdeveloped nations that are loaded with lead and all kinds of toxins. Test them. Therefore, maybe your kid won't grow up having ADD, attention deficit disorder. Maybe he won't grow up stupid because his brain wasn't cooked by lead. I mean, if you love your children, spend $10. That gone. Before you buy them a $50 toy, spend $10 and test it. See if it's got lead or some kind of heavy metal in it. I mean, after all, it's your child.
Yeah, do the research. Keep yourself safe, but don't live your life paranoid.
It's absolutely amazing how much stuff comes into this country that contains lead.
Well, I think that there's some valuable lessons to be learned. And it's going to be up to you, everybody out there, the average Joe. Muddy, do you got anything last to say real quick?
Not much, Joe. Just stay out of trouble. Be good. Don't take no doggone vaccinations that make you dumb and stupid.
Yeah. What about you, Thomas?
Careful of what they're spraying on you, too.
Thomas, are you there? Yep, going once. Going twice. All right, folks. There have been some fun, been some serious. But I hope y'all will, like, pass the word on. Start showing people some common sense. Teach them the common sense. Because there's a lot of people don't even know what common sense, the definition is. And if we're ever going to fix anything in this world before it's totally out of hand, I mean, some folks would say it's already there. Common sense got to come back to the table. Been listening to the Knights of Roundtable. If you like the podcast, pass it around. And if you don't, well, I don't know what to say. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would feel... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up, will you? Shut up!
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routine to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme to our quite something able. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the Pramalot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.